Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Livstead of the Bowel Movement Turd, and you're going to go ahead and hear it on the turd. Now, this is episode number 16, and what's called is Two Form Turds and Wigger Revolution. But it's been a while since I've done this, so I'm going to go ahead and have some musical accompaniment here. I'm going to go ahead and start the theme song to this particular show, i.e., Dave Ball / Pastor Livstead's Wigger Problem. Okay. Admit we got a Wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, skip their wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way wiggers run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. I wake up and every day stupid wigger problems come to mind. That is the problem we have. Stupid wiggers sip. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, and they don't know how to stop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Well, I think that's enough music. It's been a while since I did that, and I did find my did find the recorder. And I meant to go ahead and do some music, but record on there. I was going to go ahead and make it my Wigger prompter, but it didn't quite work out pretty good here. I'm looking at the chat here. Someone said I sing as well as Bill Fick. Well, I don't know if that's good or bad. A lot of the time. I did learn how to sort of play bass guitar when I was locked up in the nut house. Up. I'm going to have to. Oh, shoot. Where is this stupid crap? Well, I need the. Okay, found it. Okay, got rid of. Got rid of Spike TV. Has a whole bunch of stupid crap, but this particular one from 1994 was a good one here. Frank Wigger, I sort of thought the Frenchman was Frank and Wigger, but I guess they sort of liked the story. I woke up sort of thinking that I was a young pre-engineering student again, and that I'd run afoul of a Heftrichicus and inadvertently spawned 666 wiggers. You see, one of the things about Christian identity is when you get into it, you not only find out that the origin of the Jews was Satan having sex with Eve and giving birth to Cain, the first Jew, but you also get into the Lilith succubus belief, to where Lilith was a demoness who was Satan's actual daughter. And she ended up having sex with Adam to stabilize her little spawn of Satan inputs. So if you're over on StumbleIn, you notice that you end up having your Jew drones like Johnson, or Junestain as we call them. And Junestain has a Jew father and a Goy mother. So he's still a Jew drone, but he's not as vicious as a Jewess, or as a Jew from an actual Jewess. See, that's why Jews define Jewishness as coming through the female line. It's not only because they don't know who's screwing who, but about every two or three generations, they have to go ahead and get that Satan-spawned bloodline anchored again in human beings. So instead of having an ugly kikus like Sarah Bernhardt, they'll have a sort of a cuter kikus like, you know, like Alicia Silverstone or a few other little cute-looking kikuses. And their job is to go ahead and get Aryan male input to go ahead and stabilize. Now, if they don't do that, you end up having a critter like Kane 1-2-3-4-5-6-6-6, and especially nasty kike like Ixabert. If they go ahead and neglect that, so they have to do it about every two or three generations, they have to go ahead and get Aryan input. And I had a nightmare. It was sort of like Victor von Frankenstein, and I sort of thought, well, the Goyim equivalent was, you know, was Victor von Frankenwigger. And somebody went ahead and heard that, and he thought it was hilarious, so he went ahead and took the name Frankenwigger. But in any case, I'm sort of working on it, but a lot of things end up coming up on some of my fiction. So I have an idea of a hilarious short story, and I go ahead and I think about it. And I had an awful nightmare. It was this Esther kikus, sort of like Helena over at Stumbleton. See, she didn't, you know, she said she didn't know what pearlfest meant. She had to look it up. I said, yes, but you kike sow, you know, your bloodline knew enough about, you know, it was your bloodline which brought you over from Mutant Sperm Front to go ahead and get on my ass for kicking off old Maud Defraud Flanders and turning him off to Mutant Sperm Front. So Jim Stain, he sort of knew about what pearlfest was, but he didn't really act it, whereas you, who claim that you don't know anything about Jewish traditions, it's in your little kikus blood. So I told Helena, I said, head on out. You know, head on back. You know, Mutant Stumbling Pearlfest has been canceled for this year. Head on back to Mutant Sperm Front, kike sow. And she said, slow, Marty. I think I'll stay. Well, then Zebedee went ahead and said, tickets for Professor Stumblet, you know, refunds will be given back. But no, these Jews over at Mutant Sperm Front, when I ran Maud Defraud, they were after my blood, especially that Helena kikus. Now, she's fascinated with John Britton because he's a blue-eyed, you know, blonde Aryan, and she went ahead and sent him her pictures. So did Lip Gloss Loser. And he said, well, why do they do that to you and they won't do that to, you know, do that to me and they won't do it to you? I said, well, John, your family is minor nobility, whereas my family was just top-of-the-line peasantry. And peasants have always hated Jews. But Jews have always wanted to get along with the minor nobility and set them atop the peasantry, and that's why, you know, they know that I just simply exterminated a Jew without standing, whereas you might be convinced to actually screw one and give it, you know, give some Aryan input. And Helena looked like a Stevie Nicks, you know, looked like a Stevie Nicks kikus. She was not fairly badly, she was a fairly good looking little kikus. So I had a sort of a bad, you know, dream about that, you know, and maybe if I go ahead and do that here, I'll find out I inadvertently spawned 666 wiggers and find out that Dichter, D-I-D-I-C-E, H-T-E-R, von Frankenwigger, is actually a member of the Phidias, you know, is actually in the line of Phidias, and the rest of the stories will be how he goes ahead and knocks out all these little kikes that he went ahead and squeezed out. So, In any case, you know, he started with 666, and by the time old Frankenwigger gets to the age of 80, he kills off the last kikus, you know, kike that he inadvertently spawned, but to stabilize it. But in any case, it'll be it might be an interesting story. Anyway, anyway, that's I guess I missed what was going on in the chat line. Anyway, TalkShoe is a giant tech problem. Well, you know, I mean, the thing about it is that Trader Glenn Miller has plenty of money for his campaign. In 2006, what he did, and it's in my lawsuit against Obongo, he deliberately went ahead and ran as an open white nationalist candidate and tried to get in as a Democrat, and then they went ahead and used revised statute of Missouri 115.357 to refuse his filing fee. Now, in Missouri, the political party collects the filing fee. Well, since they went ahead and refused to collect the filing fee, they said he wasn't eligible to run for public office. He did that with the Republicans and the Libertoons as well. And then the worthless bastard deliberately only sued the Secretary of State for violation of the law, when he should have sued all the major political parties and demanded that, guess what, this law needs to be changed. You know, like I was explaining to him when I was up there on March 30th, and with this Republican puke, he went ahead and looked at my check, said Pastor Martin L. D. Linstead, Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Aryan Nations. He knew I was one of the ones he did not want to run. They allowed Beaners to run as Republicans, and I deliberately wanted to run as a Republican. And I went ahead and had Roxy serve these papers. And tomorrow is the last day for filing stuff, and these worthless bastards who I served are not even answering service. They're not even answering the thing. So essentially, they believe the Jew judge is not going to go ahead and ban them and change the law. And I think they're probably right about that. Essentially, if you're a white man in America, you don't have any right to run for political office openly. Like I was trying to explain to this rich land guy who worked for Robin Carnahan, I said, this has already been settled. It got settled in 1944 by Smith versus Allwright. There was this nigger sharecropper named Lonnie Smith who wanted to vote in the Texas Democrat primary, and there was an open law which said that non-whites were not allowed to get a ballot for the Texas Democrat primary. Now, back then, if you were a Republican, you'd have any chance of winning in any case, but essentially there was an open law. And the Texas Democrat Party said, hey, we're a private organization. We have the right to association. And 1944, the United States Supreme Court said, no, you're not. You're wanting to go ahead and have political power. Therefore, you have to let niggers vote. And then once, in 1944, the niggers were allowed to vote, well, they were allowed to elect other niggers. And then in 1954, in Brown versus Board of Education, they were allowed to go ahead and attend the same schools as whites. And that was the end of the public school system, was bringing in all these damn niggers. The only way to go ahead and live in racial peace was under segregation. And like I was trying to tell this nigger Jenkins, though, a couple months ago when I was on a show, you may think that integration is wonderful, but essentially it's not working. Whites do not, the better class whites don't want to deal with blacks. So as a result, you end up having white flight, and you end up having Detroit. Now you end up having Chicago. Chicago's begin to look a lot like Detroit land. Now look at something on PBS. Most of Detroit is just open land now. Collapsing buildings in open land. They're talking about essentially bulldozing them down and making huge parks, essentially just end up having villages. They don't even have a grocery store. They don't have a single Kroger in Detroit at all. Well, I mean, shoot. How would you like to run a liquor? How would you like to be a Korean running a liquor store in Detroit? Dangerous. One of the ones used to go ahead and deliver them Strohs, 40-ounce, Strohs, but they were these, it was called Schaefer. God, that was awful beer. Awful, awful beer. In any case, so, I mean, it's not a matter of where they're going to drive the niggers to. These stupid niggers were essentially stupid niggers. And if they were smart, they'd be against all these beaners coming in, because the beaners, do not like the niggers. I used to ask this guy at the nut house, what do you think, niggers and beers don't get along? He said, they're fighting over the same peanut. They are. They're fighting over the same Whigger peanut. And the Whigger's not able to go ahead and pay for it. That's why I talk about Whigger Revolution. You don't know where this bomb, if this bomb is actually, they were talking last night, oh, FBI, fat-ass FBI, stupid puke. No, it's a Middle East threat because when I was Middle East, they just want to go ahead and kill people. Anyway,
that's true.
Yeah, Mike John?
No, this is Jet Rink.
That's
Mike
John.
Okay, it says Mike John is on. But what do you need, Jet Rink?
Why are you being so hostile? I wanted to get it on the show here.
Okay. How's your show going? I looked at some of it here and didn't really hear anything. I thought you and Mike John still getting along together?
There's a few problems, but we're producing media, you can see, as you see on our site.
You get a lot of compliments.
Okay, I look at it on occasion, and I laugh at some of the digs you have on with Alex Linder. I mean,
Glenn's our main target nowadays.
Who is?
Glenn Miller. We called in on one of the shows he was on.
We
told him he's a fucking traitor and worthless.
Well, I mean, there's some people that have a blood feud against Traitor Glenn Miller, and the actuality is after he ran out of my office when I was talking about Lewis Beam and Catch and Lane. I went ahead and talked to Lewis Beam and Catch and Lane that I ought to pretend to be his buddy. And for 4 years, I did pretend to be his buddy. And at the same time, I was trying to get him to run for United States Senate while I was running for governor against Red Blood. And he refused to do it. Essentially, he said that his parole officers wouldn't let him do it. Well, once I was in the nut house in 2006, he pulls his shit. And he pulled this shit deliberately. I think he deliberately made it to so that an open white man couldn't run. So when he's talking about, support my riding candidacy, he's probably not going to get over 100 votes, if that many.
Yeah, he's really twisting arms for some cash.
Yeah, what do you think he told the other day?
It's not the cash. He has plenty of money. VNNF is paid for out of the... As I say, it's paid the
Well, he's pretty obsessed for not having that problem.
Well, he's still on VNNF. I haven't looked at VNNF for about a week or so. Well, I mean, it's sort of like this Ashkenazi activist. He makes a big deal about how Linstead wasn't going to get any votes as a libertarian candidate. The odds were very great that I would have won as a libertarian candidate, and that's what they were pissing the moan about. I told this Greg Telepek, and he used to be a class act, but he's not so anymore. I posted his letter, and he was whining and pissing and moaning and begging for me to go ahead and be removed from the ballot. And what I'm going to go ahead and tell the Jew judge is that, guess what? If the white man is no longer allowed to run for political office, essentially he's the new nigger. In 1944, the niggers were not allowed to run for public office. Now, 60 years later, and large part thanks to Traitor Glenn Miller, the open white man is not allowed to run for public office on any political party with ballot access. And I'm going to ask for these political parties to be banished for 3 election cycles.
I agree with you completely, but I think I want to show you something that you'd probably like. It's a few ads we did, mock-ups of his so-called political campaign. It's on our YouTube.
Okay, well,
I'll give you a link.
Go ahead and put a link. I mean, I really did like Mr. Jet Rink because he sort of reminds me of Alex Linder when he was young. And of all the people who get under Alex Linder's skin, it ain't me. It's Jet Rink who formed the most allergic reaction because Jet Rink is a good deal, reminds me a good deal of the young Linder. And
well,
some of the, some of,
Huh? I'm not Jewish.
Okay. Well, I don't know if Linder is Jewish either here. I mean, Linder, you know, Linder, you look at him. I mean, I thought he was a little dapper, little weasel here. And then I met him in Topeka in 2004, and he's 6 foot tall. You know, he looks like Arian. And then, but his actions here, I mean, you're looking at him, and you're seeing a Nordic, but you're seeing the behavior of a little furtive little weasel.
Wait, you think he's Nordic? What? He's a pure kike, in my opinion.
Well, he acts like a pure kike. And you got to realize Crohn's disease is a disease which is primarily among Ashkenazi Jews.
That's correct. We reached that part.
He might very well have a good deal of Jew in him. But I was going ahead and looking. There was a European film crew there, and there was about 21 of us, and I was the only one who brought my old lady. And, actually, she just went with me because she wanted to be there. And you go to those meetings, it's just a total freak out because you end up having 100 pigs protecting less than, you're on 20 white nationalists against about 400 niggers. And the niggers are really sort of curious to see what a Klansman or a real white nationalist looks like. It's usually the Uyghurs who are screaming the loudest here, and they're whipped up by the Jews. But the pigs are looking at you as if you're the freaking danger and not the 400 niggers and Uyghurs. And I was wondering, why is that? And the answer of it is that pigs sort of realize that if they end up losing control of the white population, they're doomed. So, yeah, they're looking at what you represent. You represent, you know, the white man engaging in political action represents a revolution against Zog Babylon as it is. And I didn't want to talk about white revolution. It represents a revolution against white, you know, against the current order of things and the destruction of them as they currently is, you know, exist. Because whenever there's been a major revolution, pigs are the first ones to go ahead and be exterminated. And I'd wipe out every single pig and his family and the rest. And essentially, under a Lindstedt administration, there's only going to be one mental illness, and it's pig-lice testicle-eating syndrome. There's not going to be any of these other little Jew, you know, disease called Peter Duncan. Anyway, Mr. Jet, did you want to go ahead and give your it's HTTP, you know, YouTube.
Mike types it in there.
/ user Jet and John, J-E-T-T and J-A-H-N. It's HTTP, www.youtube.com/user/Jet and John. And that's your
our YouTube
video
page.
Channel?
Have some campaign ads for Glenn on there.
And we got a Kurt Maynard video up, too.
And also the Craig Cobb staring contest.
I think Craig is in the room tonight, I think.
Yeah, he's been bad-mouthing us here.
A little war going on.
Well, he must be guest 5, 6, or 7, then. Or, you know, unless he's staring. I see old Craig Cobb, and I really sort of like him and sort of respect him. You know, the problem with him is he's just, I mean, me and John Britt would laugh our heads off seeing him because he comes in there, like, you know, real, you know, goofy and lanky, and these Jews sort of think he's just a total idiot Uyghur, and he's just one of them. And then old corncob opens his mouth, and it just freaks. It just freaks those Jews out. They just say, danger, Swirl Kikus, and danger. And they went off like crazy. And about the only time old corncob met his match was this high yellow nigress who said, I'm going to have a white baby. And acts like she was going to go ahead and rape old corncob. Old corncob got a little bit of fear in his eyes. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, me and John Britton, we were both watching it. We were just laughing our heads off at that. But I just don't know what to make of corncob. Maynard said a number of harsh things about him.
Well, he's dead now, sir.
Well, I mean, it's a bowel movement. It's a dysfunctional bowel movement. And
yeah,
what I'm thinking of doing is one of my goals to form a Christian Identity News Network forum to have sort of a YouTube or something like that. And I don't know if Corncob would go along with Christian Identity videos on his. He's pretty well a devout creatard, and generally creatards and the rest of us don't Christian Identity don't mix very well because they have to scream about worshiping a dead Jew on a stick, and then a lot of the old time Christian Identity people like John Britton's Uncle Newman and his father James sort of thought Benny Glassman was a kike himself and a faggot kike, and they pretty well don't like creatards. So usually there's a big fight, and I don't know if I go ahead and get Corncob to simply agree to live and let live or not. So I don't know. I got kicked off of Hostmonster, for my pastor listed for him, and I think it was caused by Mike Delaney and his little Jew or Turkish Mamzer or something, Quest bitching and squealing over to to them about what Pastor Winstead.com said, because the only thing I'd gone ahead and updated was my blog, and he was the one bitching that I went ahead and posted this thing from January 21st. And I didn't know what the hell to make of it. And I said, well, what are you bitching about? I don't recall to mention your name. And then I said, okay, you're bitching about reprinting this Kurt Maynard thing. And Delaney was bitching and pissing and moaning for about an hour and a half about it. And I'm saying, well, I don't know if we have a fight. We just pissing and moaning and essentially, well, hey, look, you dumb bastard, if you want to fight, we'll fight then. But essentially, this Obadiah, who was himself a criminal, went ahead and essentially got old Quest to admit that, Delaney to admit that it says Betty Quest. And Betty Quest looked like a Jew to me. If he wasn't
Kaplan.
A Jew, he was Kaplan. And Kaplan's a Jew name. What the hell are you running around with some character named Kaplan for? Oh, go ahead, barbecue with them. Well, I don't know. Why don't you offer them a pork chop here, I mean, that's the Jew dilemma. Free pork chops.
Delaney also hung around with John Allen Martinson. He was a...
Yeah, nigger.
Nigger, yeah.
He fell out with a nigger. Well, hey, I don't have any falling out with niggers because I don't associate with niggers. I don't have any falling out with Jews for the actual reason is that I don't fall out with Jews here. I've gone ahead and worked or used a Jew or two. I used a Jew to run against Ashcroft in 2000, and maybe I helped lose Ashcroft. Helped Ashcroft lose to old minstrel show Mel Carnahan in Missouri in 2000. I have gone ahead and caused a lot of political trouble. I tend to cause more. But the thing about it is that from what I gathered, Delaney, 6 months ago, he was with the dead Jew on a stick crowd. And essentially he'll just go ahead and go somewhere else. And from what I gathered, he's a crook.
He'll go somewhere else.
I mean, I've seen so many people, run in, run out. Yesterday, I was looking at, I was going to go ahead and talk about this. I was looking at the Hitler Channel, and they were having a little gangland marathon. And usually it used to be on Thursday, but, I guess it was on Friday, and they had killer clans. And be damned if I didn't see. Be damned if I didn't see. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, go ahead and say something.
Are you there, Pastor?
Yes, who's this?
Jet Rink.
Okay.
You were continuing. You were discussing something. Sorry.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead. Yesterday, I seen this thing called Clan of Killers. Well, it was the stupidest thing you ever seen because this clan didn't kill anybody. It was Ron Edwards' clan, IKA. And they didn't kill anybody. All they did is two drunken Anglo mestizos beat the snot out of some 16-year-old, small, little, slant-eyed beaner. He was running around with some wigger Gorda, had a fight with that, and they beat him up at Kentucky Fair. And then Morris Deese comes in and sues Ron Edwards, and Ron Edwards, he sort of looks brown-eyed himself here, and you sort of wonder, but you end up seeing an obvious Mamzer. And sort of like seeing this Aryan Brotherhood. There ain't a blue-eyed blonde among the lot of them here. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of cork-eyed Mamzers. And I've seen that in the Nut House, and, all these people showing their, I'm part of a white, white supremacist gang. And I'm, okay, well, no, you're not. Remember, white, you don't say nothing, but you're thinking, well, these people ain't white. What do you mean you're a member of a white supremacist gang? I mean, usually white people are so proud of their white skin, they don't like covering up with tattoos or nothing. So, anyway, hey, Mike, would you mind if I went ahead and muted you so I could go ahead and I'll come back to you maybe a half hour or something? Would that be
okay? That's fine. Thanks. Thanks for having us on.
No problem. Anyway. I go ahead and look, and I said, "Shoot, that looks like old my bell, my bell priest, old Wire Bill DeClueless." And it is. I mean, shit, he looks like what he is, about 5'6", real fat, real fat little orange hair, and he has blue eyes and orange hair. But a huge gut. I mean, he just looks like you could go ahead and roll him, easier than he can walk. And here he is. He's spitting on a Israeli Jew flag, and he's waddling. And that's the way he was when he was down here. Now, Roxy went ahead and, cooked up some spaghetti, and I opened a can of spaghetti sauce, and he was sort of acidic. These were made pretty well out of homegrown tomatoes. And, it was a little bit acidic, but we offered him some had acid here, and he just barfed it up. The entire time he ate, all he ate was a little piece of steak. Now, he had a huge gut. He looks like he's about, 15 months pregnant. That didn't really bother me. I mean, shit, it didn't look like he'd go ahead and miss a few meals, but, look at all, he reminded me more of Trader Glenn Miller. He just turned sort of green when I was talking about knowing Louis Beam and Cachalet, and what Trader Glenn Miller was thinking was that I was going to go ahead and kill his worthless ass. Well, anyway, looking at that thing, and I'm going to go ahead and I turned it from video cassette to a DVD, and I'll go ahead and finalize, say, some pictures of it. But essentially, Liar Bill just sits there. He looks stupid, and that's exactly what he did when he came down to visit me for a day and a half. And I sort of think that he hangs around for no good reason, looking for whatever he could get. But I sort of thought he had an AOL connection with a dynamic, AOL has dynamic, internet IP numbers and smart firm front accounts. And they said, well, should I go ahead and renew it? I said, it's nothing to me, Bill. But if you do renew it, go ahead and see if you can't put up some dual seed line Christian Day links here. Some real ones, instead of old DeClut, Downey, and the rest, Kinsman Redeemer. And I went ahead and I said, well, how big an elaborate ordination ceremony do you want? He said, oh, no, not very elaborate. So I said, okay. So I went ahead and worked for about 45 minutes, on a PowerPoint thing, PowerPoint diploma for something here, and I didn't know how to work PowerPoint, but I was able to sort of figure it out. I've been able to tinker with computers. Well, it was my generation which really brought them into being. I remember going to University of Missouri, Rolla, and there was this one guy who flunked out of Princeton because of a behavior problem, not because he was stupid. And he was all so proud that he got a $5,000 5.5 floppy disk for going ahead and working on the machine, on the machine code for Cromico, which was an ancient computer company, which long, long, long disappeared. And this was in 1978. So it was my generation, which essentially created the personal computer. So I went ahead and made him a very nice-looking certificate. I printed it up on cardstock. I printed it up in black and white on laser printer, but I also went ahead and printed it up on the other one, and he was so proud of it. But he sat like a lump most of the time. Oh, I'm never going to go ahead and give you a hard time about, you know, those false accusations of child molestation because, well, what happens is that I was accused twice of sexual misconduct against young girls. What? Well, they were true. Well, okay. And then he talked about the sisters living with their mama and essentially turned into a nigger crack house. Eventually, she went, you know, his mama got one thing, and eventually he went ahead and bought her house and run the niggers off. He was talking about his nigger nieces, you know, just a short time after he was talking about how he was accused of sexual assault or misconduct against two young girls. I'm like, well, did you assault your nigger nieces? I was wondering, what the hell was going on? Why are you telling me this shit? And Meyerbill is just a yes, 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 yes man here. He was so eager to please. And 3 days later, he goes back up. He's sucking up to Downey, and I exchanged private messages. Well, he didn't want to go ahead and stay till Sunday morning. He wanted to go ahead and leave. So I went ahead and typed up the ordination, sent to my Christian Nationalist forum. But I also went ahead and had him use a Toshiba, you know, because I wanted to go ahead and teach him how to use internet espionage. But Liar Bill wasn't too clever. So we set up a Liar Bill, you know, Pastor DeClue, you know, Pastor DeClue. He used to be called Chaplain Bill. Now he wanted to be known as Pastor Bill or Pastor DeClue. We set up a Facebook account. We set up a Gmail account. And after he went ahead and sort of betrayed me, I went ahead and went back into that Toshiba, and I changed the password. So now I have the Pastor Bill DeClue, you know, account, the Facebook account, and the rest of it here. And God knows what I could put on. I'm probably not going to do that here, but I might. If you're listening in, you know, any of you tissers of this. But Lara Bill, he's sitting around in that History Channel thing. He's not saying a single word. He's just sitting there looking stupid, which is exactly about all I think he's good for. But he is, you know, he is a delusional liar. You'll go ahead, you know, work out telling a lie, and then after about the fourth or fifth time he repeats that lie, he starts believing it. And I sort of think he's probably the guy who helped betray Ron Edwards to Morris Deeve. So, look, idiots, anybody listening out there, if you're talking to a Liar Bill, the clue, you know, you call himself Pastor Bill or Chaplain Bill or something here at the Clud, don't have nothing to do with him if you have anything, you know, in the brains. He may be your only white man in your entire idiot clan, but he's not worth it. He's rather low rent. He's not a quality person at all. He's rather delusional, and you know he has like Sam Houston wants to say, he has all the characteristics of a dog, except fidelity. And I mean about the only thing I could think of he'd be any good for is sort of a department store Santa Claus. And if he had two counts of sexual misconduct and assault against young girls, I don't think you really want him sitting on his lap. You know, even though he says he's sterile because mumps settled into his nutsack or something like that. So he has a Deuteronomy 23, verse 1 prohibition against being a clergyman. Anyway, but in any case, anyway, now he's still idiot. Well, what he did is I went ahead and told him, okay, get out the storefront, and we'll send notice of your ordination over to the storefront and see what old Downey has to say about it. He didn't look too thrilled about it, but he went ahead and tapped in Chaplain Bill, and he tapped in his password. I didn't look at his password. Well, like 3 days later, he's going ahead, and now he's buddies with Mark Downey. You know, I don't know what the hell to think of here. I said, shit, did the guy... You know, he couldn't have planned any child porn or nothing on, you know, my computer, but And what was he doing? Was he maybe putting in a bug or a microphone or something here while I wasn't watching him, when he was just sitting like a lump on this plastic chair while I was, you know, trying to go ahead and get things done? And no, I mean, after I went ahead and logged in the Stormfront, and guess what? Ding! The idiot had clicked the Remember Me thing on the bulletin board. I said, oh, my God. I said, you know, he talked about how he was in the Air Force. He was in the Air Force as ground security for these, for these airports. And I think, well, shoot, you idiot like that in Air Force security in the armed forces here. No wonder the ragheads rings around song. Overall, Bill, he's sort of just like the thing is that you have about 10,000 killers and the rest is just a Job Corps in uniform. That's what Liar Bill is. A none too smart Job Corps in uniform. And, he's talking about how he's working security for that, and he's working as Ron Edwards, political. See, the CLUD is a political chaplain. Well, the thing about it is that CLUD is also the name of Debbie Downey's little humper, little meerkat, idiot meerkat. And, I mean, these Klan clubs don't have a good thing. But I think he said that he wanted an upgrade to someone who, came from Wesley Swift. And, I wanted to go ahead and talk to Glitt, but Glitt was in jail here, and I wanted to go ahead and, with Pastor John Britton. And I said, well, shoot. Well, I was talking to old John Britton. And, oh, by the way, John Britton did talk on my cell phone to old Liar Bill DeClueless. At past 7 o'clock, once the rates got done. And Liar Bill was just nice as you could please. And then he comes up with this crap about how I said that John is a big drunk. And a blanket ass Indian. And the thing about it is that John, Britton doesn't go ahead and put his web page, information out because his family's been screwed by Zog quite heavily. So the only person that the old Lion Wong can go ahead and look at is this rebellious eldest daughter who, said she was undergoing divorce, and now they're going ahead and saying the old John beat her up. No, that was her husband who was trying to go ahead and get a divorce from, but essentially old Brian Wright is stalking John Britton. He's mad as hell because John Britton went in and showed he was a flat-eyed manzer. Well, anyway, Liar Bill goes ahead and talks to him, nice as you can please, and then he comes up about how John Britton, because he said he was just a drunken Indian. Well, where did you get that, Liar Bill? I didn't say such thing. I didn't say anything about it. I didn't say anything about John Britton's personal habits. He was talking about, how Martin Lister had 3 cases of Busch beer. Well, no, I had a couple of them empty, and I had 2 of them. I go ahead and bring them up there. It takes me about a month or 2 to go ahead and drink one. Sometimes I drink 2 cans a night. Most nights I don't drink any cans at all. But he comes up with this little crap, and then he tells a lie, and then he goes ahead and believes it. And then the rest of the people, they don't much care for me, so they go ahead and repeat this stupid shit. But they don't, they don't stop to remember that I don't know where these goofy bastards live. In the case of Liar Bill, he goes ahead and he types in that, he leaves a Remember Me, and I immediately go ahead and check his private messages and save everything it is. And then from now on, I don't want him going ahead. This is around 7 o'clock at night when he might be on there. And after that, I go ahead and on the other computer type in my spy name over on the sperm front. Then see if, Chaplain Bill was on. And then I immediately go ahead and tuck in behind him. And that went on for about a month or 2. But I didn't really learn anything that I didn't know. Liar Bill is just a pathetic, bossy little bastard, just like common within Christian identity or anywhere in the movement. You give him a little bit of power, he'll abuse it. And he was going ahead and begging old Spermfront Haugus to go ahead and ban old Lisa Lee and Mordiver and the rest of these people because they talked back to him as a moderator. But the main thing that, and it wasn't a secret, essentially, he gets tired of old Claude, old Clark Downey giving a hard time here and talking bad about people. And she goes ahead and whines about how Downey is a lot more clever, but, you're produced with Looney Linstead and Visser have been saying about how there's a special rule for the Downeys and a rule for everybody else. And he goes ahead and he says it to Lucia. Lucia says it to Jack Boots. Jack Boots says it to Don Black. And then it comes back from Don Black to Jack Boots to Lucia, who I call the sperm front Hargis. Essentially what boils down to is that Clunt has been comrades with Don Black for 30 years. Essentially, whatever Clunt wants, Clunt gets. Well, that was exactly what the hell I figured out after 3 days before I was able to log in. Essentially, I sort of thought that old Don Black was getting embarrassed by Clunt. But the fact of the matter is embarrassed or not, Clunt gets to run wild. And that's exactly what the hell. So, nothing new came up. But, by going ahead and looking at what a big fool Liar Bill was, how dishonest, I didn't think he was part of a grand NSA plot. See, the NSA can go ahead and read every single thing which goes through the line anyway. Right? So, why should I worry about Liar Bill DeCluse? He's just an idiot. Essentially, sperm front is just an idiot factor, too. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with Trader Glenn Miller. They're all just in my 15 years in the movement, the only time I've seen the A-team was these two Missouri Highway Patrolmen who came in, and they came in the Saturday after Oklahoma City on the 23rd, and they showed up. And if you want to go ahead and find out how these people get in. Listen to one of Harold Covington's programs. They get something on somebody, and they make him go ahead and introduce them. And the vast majority of the bowel movement is dysfunctional. It's idiots. It's retards, like Liar Bill. You can't do nothing with them. They might make good fertilizer, but you can't do anything with them. So somebody who has something on the ball, some leadership, position, YK, Missouri Highway Patrolman, he gets pretty high pretty quick. And this one that I knew, he was sort of wary of me. And I think that he was pretty well saying, hey, look, Linstead will sniff you out. And that's what I've seen a lot of times here. But I've also been amazed at how these bastards, they seem to have the small Satan cunning to where, here's these people with a video camera taking pictures of this entire meeting. And later on, you want to look back. And I was looking back for these Missouri Highway Patrolmen. And they had attained leadership positions, but they were not on the camera. So it's part of spawn Satan cleverness, but it's also part of trading to where you don't see these people on the camera. They're dangerous. They're extremely dangerous. But, the vast majority of the bowel movement, your cluds, your clunks, your Liar Bill DeCluses are complete retards. Complete freaking retards. They're not the A team, they're not the B team, they're not the C team, they're not the Delta team. They're more like the Zeta team. They're idiots. They're not very smart at all. Hold on, I'm gonna have to hook up my cell phone because it's beeping. That means it's low on power. I was reading the old Liar Bill DeCluse's first private messages, and I was reading the sustaining membership, of that. Essentially, these people, there's nothing really worth reading. It's sort of like VNNF here. When Mike John was talking about what was going on at VNNF here, I spy on VNNF, but it's sort of gone downhill so badly. Same way with Four Fag Seeds. It's gone downhill so badly that most of the time there's nothing worth spying on. At all. I go ahead and look at Pistor Cinder, and somebody went ahead, Solomon, who I think is pretty well related to Visser, went ahead and printed what I wrote on stuff with. So they spy on me, I spy on them. But they were dying down for about a week or so. A man, you know, Weiss Mamser. So it's some balkanoid, crazoid Mamser in from Chicago. And he's a Catholic idiot, Alpine German Mamser. And, you know, Pastor Weissman, I mean, he was BNNF's poster tard of 2007. He got banned because he's just Asperger's clown, sort of like Eisenberg and Kane, and, you know, he's one of the more, vicious, stupid ones here. I mean, I got a bunch of private messages, that he went ahead and deleted his share of them. Stupid tard forgot that he sent them to me, and I almost never delete anything. So I'm able to go ahead and look at what's going on the V-Bulletin forums. I'm going to go ahead and get to that anyway. Just as many white as you, I bet we have open doors. Yeah, transgendered or the rest of them here. As far as Visser being dead, that's a lie. Somebody named Seedliner was saying it was all in the news in Georgia, and I went and looked, and I couldn't find anything at all. So essentially, I think Visser had to go ahead and tell his little handlers that he wasn't getting that very far very quick, and he wanted out or something like that, and I guess they decided to go ahead. I mean, he has pulled the same shit last September when word out on the FBI street was he was using lots of, he was on meth again, and it wasn't the FBI kicking his door in. But I go ahead and look at Sci-Fi, and I look at the rest of them here, and I mean, these people don't seem to understand. Sort of like Ashkenazi, Anchorage activist here. The character gaps about DFCI pester Linstead has his own faction. No, look, dumbass. Aryan Nations was set up as the political arm for the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. And what it did over the years is Butler made a big mistake, which was actually good for the church, but bad for Butler. By going ahead and surround himself by all the skinhead vermin, and a lot of the skinhead vermin is just cork-eyed Mamsers. I mean, he was just too nice to run off on sight. You know, one of these guys, was a Nighthawk or something like that. The guy has dark hair, dark eyes, and he looks like a beaner. And he goes ahead and says, well, you can be about any religion, You don't have to be Christianity. Well, okay. Fine. Then don't go ahead and use the Christianity symbols if you're not going to be a Christianity clan. So, this, clan of killers, nobody got killed. Some little 16-year-old little beaner got beat up by two drunken Anglo mestizos. The Morris D's went ahead and got $1.5 million and $1 million damages out of Ron Edwards. Ron Edwards didn't, he was screwed in court. You could see him floundering. The judge was out to screw him. The jury was out to screw him. He got screwed. Okay? But the thing about it is that it wasn't a clan of killers. Nobody got killed. If it's a clan of clowns, they'd have been right. They'd lie on down there, just sitting there, looking like the whitest, fattest, stupidest tard you ever seen, sitting there. I mean, he sort of, his on-screen presence here, they kept on showing him, because he was by far the lightest of the lot here. He did have orange, reddish hair and blue eyes, and, a couple of the others had blue eyes and dark hair, which would make him by Lion Wong's thing, Mamsers, but anyway, they just sat there, and he reminds me of this, my stepdaughter Emily, one time when they were doing a weather show, and the stupid cow was sitting there with, with my granddaughter Helen as a baby in her carriage, with one and the other, just looking fat and stupid, looking just like, well, hey, here we are in location at the cow farm here. I mean, here's my same way with Lyle Bill. I mean, here we are at the Klein Cow Farm here. Here's one of the cows, looking stupid. And that's what Lyle Bill is. Anyway, that lasted until about after December. And then for some reason, he didn't get on, and I didn't dare tuck in. I was wondering if old Lyle Bill was being careful. And what happens is that Roxy went ahead and turned off, instead of shutting down hibernation, the new Toshiba. And after about a week or so, by the time he was on again, I went ahead and went on, and the password had expired on the Remember Me on the sperm front one. Well, I went later on and tried to do a restore to see if I can get back on there, and it didn't work. So maybe Liarbill did change the thing here. But from October, November, and December, for 2.5 months, I was reading Liarbill's private messages and the sustaining membership of, sperm front. Let me tell you, it looks interesting here, but essentially there was really no great intelligence coup because Liarbill's an idiot. That's all he ever was an idiot. Here he is yapping about how I force things. No, idiot. Don't you realize? I mean, here, I know more about Chris Billy Billy because I stated it. No, idiot. You're talking like you understood Compre, and you plagiarizing Compre, but essentially, E-Ray Cap was so much better than Compre. Well, no, E-Ray Cap was not dual seed line. In fact, he was just barely one seed line. But, you don't understand anything about what you're talking about. But in which anybody who knows anything can understand. But anyway. Okay, well, let me see. X is the biggest Asperger's model. No, X is what X appears to be. X is just a Mamzer, which has, who's Hester Kaikas' mother or grandmother. Well, I lost connection to the chat. I mean, Ixenbert is just simply a Jew Mamzer who's Hester Kaikas' mama hasn't got any Aryan, hasn't got any Frank and Wigger input, Aryan input here to stabilize the Jew. I mean, too much spawn of Satan input in a Jew male or a Jew Mamzer male poisons him. That's why Lilith had to go ahead and have sex with Adam in order to go ahead and create these demons here. And what the thing about is the Jewess, this mitochondrial Jew DNA, Jew females don't get poisoned by too much Jewishness, but Jew drones do. Now, Jew Stain is a stable, stable Jew drone because, his mother appeared, did the Aryan input. But what happens, Ixenbert and Cain, they're Spurg Lords. They're Asperger Spurg Lords. They're just Jew Mamzers who's Hester, they need to have some Aryan input once every three degenerations, and what happens is that their Hester Kaikas' mother or something like that didn't provide it. Hold on, I got to go ahead and log in.
So you're on or what?
Hello?
Yeah, we are on, I think.
Anyway, I'm gonna, you have anything to say, Jet, or?
Jet actually went out with a girlfriend. He's not here anymore. But we can have my producer, his name is Carl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys use? Do you use TalkShoe, or do you just make your own podcast? And
no, we host our own. We have a host.
Okay. Well, maybe I can go ahead and be a guest of you guys someday. Who knows?
Well, if you like, we could buy some, web space from us. We'd be glad to give it to you at a discount.
Okay, well, I might consider it, but that's, I mean, I don't know. It's just like everybody. Everybody wants to go ahead and form their own thing here.
It's just my offer to you.
Say again?
It's just my offer to you. If you want it, we can give it to you.
Yeah, I think he asked for to be a guest on our show.
Oh, he wants to be a guest. Well, no problem on that front either.
Okay. Well, maybe we can go ahead and do it sometime. I think Mike John has logged into my Christian Nationalist webpage, and he was obsessing about Star. The problem with Star and the problem with Jake Featherstone is that they're now members over at Mutant Sperm Front. And you got one of these people who ever were white nationalists. I think they're, you know, what I call Whigger nationalists, who just are hobbyists who play at the game, who like to whine, who like to hear themselves. And if Zog would last longer, essentially you give them about 5 or 6 years, why, they'll go ahead and renounce their white nationalist stuff here, and old Star will probably go ahead and be looking for some, looking to be some Beaner's Gorda for all you can. You know, for all you can. I mean, I'm sort of waiting for old Jet Ring to form a thread called Star's Pussy. Well past the disposed of date or not here, but in any case, I know that Jet Ring's sort of obsessed with Star.
Well, we're just joking around. We like to get on her nerves because she's a nuisance.
Well, she ain't a nuisance. I call her sort of Ellen Goodman. You know, Ellen Goodman. You know, well, Ellen Goodman's a Jewess, and the Ellen Goodmans are of the bowel movement. Essentially, it took her about a week or so. Me and this one of my spies had a joke as to how long would it take for them to figure out that poor Brutus was no longer on BNNF here, and Star finally figured it out after a good deal of hinting around. Well, what happened to Brutus? And it was sort of like this National Lampoon's vacation about where they go ahead and tie this dog to the back of the station wagon, and the little bastard doesn't make it because he's not able to keep up with the station wagon. He gets drug out, and all that's left is his little collar. And that's the same thing that happened to poor Brutus. Poor Brutus disappeared from PNNF. And nobody paid attention to him until there was nothing left of poor Brutus but a few of his posts and his little jaw collar.
Well, his comments were awful, to be honest with you. Those are just shit.
Who?
Brutus's comics were just shit. They were awful. Just kids can do better than that.
Well, maybe so, but the thing about it is that I have seen people who started out writing not too good, and what they do is they get better because they go ahead and determine to get better. So
most of us get really good at writing at around 22 when we're in college.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really old, well, I mean, if you're getting really old, I don't think there's as much time to learn. It's much harder to catch up.
Well, that may be so. I was going to go ahead and be a novelist or something when I was, way back in the early 90s. And I never did really go ahead and complete my, stuff here. And that was one of the reasons I got a web page in early 1996 because I knew that nobody would go ahead and print what I had to write. And the thing about it is that over the years, I've learned that I can't write like Jim Floyd and I can't write like other people. But then again, other people can't write like me. And that was one thing I wanted to go ahead and get into with old Fade, to where there's a bunch of people who don't like him. But I really do, and I think he's really grown quite a bit. Now, I was going ahead and bitching, and this is the title of it, is the Two New Movement Turds. But, I don't know, since I got you on, I think you're over at the Beer Barrel, correct?
Not so much. We have our own forum nowadays, actually.
Okay, is it PHPBB or V-Bulletin Board then, or what?
Well, this was just territory, but I'm pretty sure we sort of have a custom thing going. How about you, Tom?
It's an SMS forum.
It's a what?
Machines forum. SMS,
okay.
Simple Machines forum. Yeah.
Well, I've seen them. It's not a, it's a free forum, correct?
Yeah, it's open source.
It's open source. Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about vBulletin, I don't like vBulletin 4.0. And I was asking this time last week, Breckenridge Elkins, what happened? And pretty well it turned out the Jaybird went ahead and didn't tell them the license number or something like that. Now, when you buy it, you're supposed to go ahead and be able to get upgrades for a year. And, you know, the other way was to go ahead and rent it for $100 a year. And from my gear, they, you know, Jaybird didn't go ahead and give them the actual code for it, but they did have a legitimate copy. And that's what they were talking about. Now they got the thing working on 3.8.5, and I'm trying to tell them, don't mess with vBulletin 4.0 because it looks totally different. It's not as well, it's not really as well designed for a forum. Even vBarrel, I mean, you know, vBulletin, they don't underline the hyperlinks, so you really have to go ahead and look to see them. And that's not, you know, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. And I, you know, but I see Simple Machines Forum, and it's sort of, it's prettier than, you know, PHPBB, but if I had a free form, I'd probably go ahead and go with the PHPBB 3.0. But, you know, that's just, you know, that's just my liking here. Anyway, yeah.
The thing is, we went with open source because, it's better than proprietary software. I mean, with proprietary software, everything's copyright. You can't improve it. You can't advance it. It's all subject to copyright laws. It's just the developers that can do it, which means that if there is a flaw, it's going to take a long time to, you know, to fix it. If it's open source, it's community-based programming. Everybody contributes. Flaws are fixed faster.
Yeah, and we can add a lot more features, and we don't have, we can read private messages when we want to. You can't do that on vBulletin.
And we can write from plugins. And,
I disagree that vBulletin is sort of like driving a Peterbilt, and PHPBB3 is sort of like driving a Capio. It's sort of like driving a good Chevrolet. My pastor Linstead one got down and essentially didn't have any very new people going on it, and I do prefer the vBulletin 3. I think 3.7 was really a better one than 3.8, and I noticed that Fade got his 3.7.2 up and working pretty good. Now, Fade was giving me a whole bunch of bullshit about how he had to go ahead and prevent all these spammers coming in. The last year or so, these spammers have been pretty bad. And the way you go ahead and deal with that is you don't let them on until they go ahead and pass moderation. And about every day or so, I go ahead and log on. And
we have an automatic spam filter, actually, that identifies IPs that are spam.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
email, IP, and usernames. It goes through an international database. Open source. Everybody adds, you know, spammers to the list. The automatic filter catches it and blocks it automatically.
Okay. Anyway, some of the stuff doesn't sound, you know, this, some of the stuff don't, you know, some of the stuff, voice morphing here. Yeah, well, some of what you're saying doesn't sound very good. It might just be a bad cell phone connection or something like that. But in any case, by the way, Hyperhunter, I don't much care like being called Marty, but you might go ahead and do that anyway. Anyway, let me see. Where was I? The problem with Fade, he went ahead and he clicked short his debolted form. And the reason he clicked it is that he has changed from 5 years ago when he opened up the Flora from being, he wants to go ahead and control things. And he was going ahead and giving me a bunch of bullshit about, how it wasn't that. He had to go ahead and do this. He had to go ahead and do that. And I pointed out, no, you don't have to do this. You can simply allow this to, just simply go ahead and with the people you already got on, just go ahead and let them post as they please. Anyway, hey Mike, or Jet or something like that, you're going ahead and feeding in quite a bit into this here, so I'll go ahead. You guys really have anything to say, or before I put you on mute, or what?
Oh, sorry. We're making a lot of noise or something?
Well, you're putting in a lot of clicks or something like that, so. Anyway, I just sort of thought I'd put you on mute. I go ahead. So you like Simple Machines better than V-Bulletin, or is it a matter that you don't have the money for V-Bulletin?
We just don't want to buy it.
Okay. Well,
it's not a question of money. It's,
the money.
It was a calculated decision to go with Simple Machines, open source. It's just beta. I mean, Firefox is open source. Database browser out there.
Yep.
Well, I like V-Bulletin because I think it's sort of beautiful. I think it's pretty nice. I don't much care for the version 4.0, and I pretty well told the people to stumble in, just leave it at 3.8.5, now that you got it up there. And for a while, they were not able, I wasn't able to go ahead and check out even 500 on my database, or I wasn't able to go ahead and check stuff, and I was able to go ahead and essentially old Ixbert, he got on Linsedania and he got on the Julag, and essentially I was going to go ahead and modify all his posts to where, geld me now, I'm Ixbert, the juice burg lord faggot, geld me now. And essentially that's what I've gone ahead and done with the ones that are on my moderator panel, is just pretty well make fun of Ixbert. But I really do prefer V-Bulletin, 3 point whatever. But now you end up having to go ahead and pay $285. You get only a little bit cheaper if you end up having a previous license. So I'd pretty well advise people just go ahead, if you have to have V-Bulletin, start a new form. Just go ahead and stick with your old 3 point whatever, because V-Bulletin, 3.0, is a lot better, I think, than 4.0 point. It's a known axiom that you don't want the first version of anything. Now, they're already up to 4.0.3, but no, you don't really want to have, by this time next year, if you bought a license recently, by this time next year, they should be up to version 4.1 point whatever. And, go ahead and fix out all the bugs. But all the software that they have, what they do is just like Microsoft does. It goes ahead and gives all these new features, and it just creates all the bugs on these new features. And the vast majority of people don't use all these new features anyway. So, anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and...
Wait, you have a forum?
Hmm?
You have a forum?
Yeah, I have a forum on whitenationalist.org. I had one on pastorlinstead.org, but I ended up getting kicked off of Hostmonster, thanks, I think, to Delania's little Jew Quest Kaplan character. And essentially what I did is I just went ahead and called William Fink, and because he went ahead and got a new server connection, and he knows even more about computers than I do. And he went ahead and suggested that I go to 1and1.com because they're not giving him a hard time for his Mein Kampf, Hitler was a Christian page, even though 1and1.com originated in Germany. So when I went ahead and called them, they were on four continents. Well, I'm able to go ahead and have three. I'm able to go ahead and get the business plan and essentially pay $9.99 per month, and it's better than HostMonster in that I can go ahead and probably have streaming video on that here before they'll go ahead and ask for me to have dedicated service. See, the thing with broadband is that I was looking even at HostMonster, and I was even using 2% of what I essentially had paid for. Of course, I didn't have any streaming video or anything like that. And I'm sort of thinking is that, if I end up going ahead, I can go ahead and form a Christian Identity News Network forum and, Christian Identity News Network and have Christian Identity sermons and the speeches done on video and not worry about YouTube. By the way, Jet and John, have you had any problem with YouTube kicking you off for terms of service violations for your stuff?
Well, that's an interesting story, actually. We had a really good video making fun of one of the celebrity niggers. And it was like a modic. It was him and his white bitch, white mud shark, and it was a video where basically we replaced everything he said with mud dick. And
okay.
This nigger who was a mulatto, he got really angry at us, right? And he filed a fake copyright claim and got the video taken off YouTube. After it got like 2,000 views, we were getting a lot of views every day. So yeah, we had problems.
Did you get your account deleted or just the video taken down?
Just the video so far.
Well, my friend John Britton got his entire account deleted for making fun of Jews on a video that Corn Cob had posted to YouTube. And essentially it consisted of these Moldavian clergymen getting all pissed because Jews were spitting on them. And John lost his entire account. He was pretty well pissed off about it on YouTube.
Yeah, we're pretty close to getting banned off YouTube.
Yeah, well, I essentially don't want to be banned off of YouTube. I just simply want to go ahead and have something that is off of YouTube. See, I've been on the internet since 1995, and I've pretty well seen what happened to Yahoo groups and the rest of the stuff. And like I've explained on my V-Bulletin, my laws of white nationalist forums is that censorship by Jews, as in, we used to call them Jew-hoo, has been replaced by censorship by Uyghurs. And, that's part of the reason I want to go ahead and have own Christian Identity News network. See, I've met Craig Corn, Craig Cobb, and Craig is one of the most disorganized people in real life you ever met. I've seen him, I met him at Topeka along with Alex Linder. Alex Linder, here he was. He was, afterwards, me and Ben Vineyard and this little Swiss guy, less than two-thirds the size of Alex Linder, were talking, and this little Swiss guy was interviewing Alex Linder after he'd gone ahead and interviewed Butler, and pretty well my old video cassette, camera, VHS cassette battery had died. So I was just going ahead looking, and for some reason Linder said that his family came from Switzerland. So did this little dark Swiss guy. And there's some of them who are, there's some of these Germans who are dark, dark for some reason. They ain't Turkish blood, but they have something in them that makes them, rather dark. Not exactly swarthy, but dark. And for some reason, Linder ended up asking if the guy was a Jew. And this guy was from the German portion of Switzerland. He said, yeah. Now, I was stationed over in Germany for 19 months in a nuclear missile battalion. And what a German doesn't say or something like that. He goes ahead and he's polite and he says, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and fill the space. Well, Linder goes ahead. he takes the ya-ya's mean yes-yes, which is what it does mean in German. And Linder acts like he's going to go ahead and shit a brick. He just thinks this little guy two-thirds the size is going to go ahead and show his inner werkike and tear Linder to pieces or something here. And Linder acts like he's scared. And I'm sort of looking at it. I'm enjoying the moment. And, you know, Billy Roper's right-hand man, Ben Vineyard, was sort of enjoying the moment, you know. But, you know, somebody went ahead. It wasn't me, because I sort of liked Alex Linder's discomfiture, because I found him, you know, I found him pretentious. And he asked, well, you're not actually a Jew. And, you know, all the, you know, Swiss guy said, kind of Jew, which meant not a Jew. So then Linder started, you know, breathing a little bit easier. But that's the thing about these people, like Trader Glenn Miller or Alex Linder. In real life, they're just total cowards. It's just like, you know, they believe that they're supposed to be racist, but something that, you know, they sort of think intellectually it's not something that comes from the heart, because they're not really, you know, all they are is just little no figures problem. Or yeah, they're just little pretenders and posers. And that's pretty well what happened with Linder. I mean, in real life he looks like Arian. But, you know, his little mannerisms is just like a little Guido here. So that's why I call him the gut sick Guido weasel, a Jew ass catcher, because that's what his mannerisms were. Yeah, I sort of expected, because he looked like a little dapper little Guido, sort of like this John Lovitz character who's a congenital liar, and that's what Alex Linder reminds me of. And in real life, yeah. I mean, he looks Aryan, but you know, his mannerisms of some little Guido who in real life underneath that Aryan suit is a little Jew or a little Guido. And that's just the way he is. So I've never been able to take Alex Linder serious, at least since May of 2004. So the same way with Trader Glenn Miller. I mean, he'll talk big shit, but you go ahead and look at what gives is that, you know, hey, he's just, you know, Trader Glenn Miller is a drunken Anglo mestizo. He got a lot of Cherokee or Hacksaw or shit ass from No Wipe'em tribe, and that's why he can't handle his liquor.
That's what I thought. He's like half black, maybe. That's what it looked
like. No, he ain't black. He got some red nigger in him here. From North Carolina. You know, some of these people.
I don't know.
No, I mean, niggers. I mean, I've been in the Army. I've seen drunken lifers. And, you know, that's why I'm too crazy about Sergeant Snitch, because I've seen too many drunken lifers in my 2 years when I was in the Army. Seen plenty of them, and I've seen them. You know, I've been drunk enough to puke. I've never been so drunk to piss on myself. But from my guy, old Trader Glenn Miller. I mean, Covington, I believe, says, you know, Trader Glenn Miller was not only drunk enough to puke on himself and drunk enough to piss on himself, he was drunk enough to shit on himself. And you know, the thing about it is, he never learns from his drunkenness any more than any other Indian does. And
when did you see this happening? I'm kind of curious.
Well, I mean, no, Al Covington goes ahead. And, you know, Al Covington does always tell the truth, but it's thoroughly believable here. I've seen more drunken lifers. I've seen quite a few drunken lifers when I was in the Army. You know, I'd see, you know, well, this one guy, he wanted to be a drunken lifer. He liked that Korean pussy, and he was all pissed off that he got sent to Germany instead of Korea. But there was no slots in that particular MOF. Now that MOF, it used to be for lanced missiles, for a ground-launched nuclear-tipped cruise missile. Now that MOS is quite common because it's the MOS for the multiple launch rocket system. And the Army is doing away with all its tube units because the tube unit requires a lot more manpower, even though the 155 is a lot more stable than the rocket. But all it requires for the rocket to do is to go ahead and spend, and it's far more expensive for the rocket. But essentially, the welfare warfare state loves that sort of thing, because all it requires is just go ahead and just drop this crate that's already preassembled onto a truck, and you only have two or three guys going ahead and running that launching truck. Whereas with a battery, you know, it used to require 80 or 100 men to run a 155 self-propelled artillery battery. I was in the Army Reserve for about a year or so, too, you know, trying to go ahead and make $100 a month. You know, and that didn't turn out very good. But in any case, I've seen more drunken life. I've seen, you know, I was in the regular Army in Germany, and I've seen plenty of drunken lifers. And that's what Sergeant Snitch is. He's just a drunken Anglo-Mestizo lifer. And that's why he can't, I mean, I've seen, you know, you go to Germany, and these Germans, why, they got high-proof beer, and they don't act like the drunken lifers did here because they're Germans, and they're used to handling their liquor. You didn't see any of them getting drunk to where he puked on himself, he pissed himself, he shit on himself. But I have seen drunken lifers puke, and piss over themselves. But, you know, if you have one that shits on himself, that means he's about to go ahead and be alcohol poisoned because he's about to be able to, the last function to go is breathing. You know, and I imagine Trader Glenn Miller has come close to drinking himself to death. He's just an Anglo-Mestizo rag, you know. He's just an Anglo-Mestizo. He can't help himself. And that is his nature. And, you know, that's why I'm not impressed. You have all these stupid wiggers. Well, he got all these people dressed up in BDUs. Well, I don't know. I served 2 years in the regular Army and another year, you know, in the Army Reserve, you know, as a cancocker. And I've seen enough drunken Anglo-Mestizo lifers to where, hey, you know, they don't hold any charm for me. And, that's exactly what Trader Glenn Miller is. You know, he talks about being the Green Beret, but I looked at his uniform and I didn't see a combat infantry badge. You can't be in the Green Beret without an infantry badge on. You know, and from what I gather, he was just a supply sergeant. It was assigned, you know. Same way with Wigger Swill Williams. You go ahead and ask him, well, do you have a copy of your DD-214 file? And nope, they don't have it here. But they go ahead and claim to be in the Green Beret and Braves, and, you know, shit, that's, you know, I mean, you have niggers that claim to be in that here, even though there ain't hardly any niggers who are in the special forces because it's just too damn stupid. But, no, I don't think Trader Glenn Miller has any nigger in him, but I do believe he has quite a bit of Anglo-Mestizo in him. He's a Mamzer. And as a result, he can't handle his liquor. See, white people, I have been drunk enough to puke on myself twice in my life. And that occurred years apart. And the second time it occurred was me screwing up and opening up a genuine 35 drachma souvenir of Greece that I got when I went down to Crete to fire a missile into the ocean. You know, these missiles, they go about 75 miles or so. They can go as little as 8 miles, but or 8 kilometers, but you don't want, well, 8 miles, but you don't want to be, you don't want to be within 8 miles of something launching a nuclear weapon here. I mean, the flash could probably kill your ass, you know, from a nuclear weapon going off. So 75 miles, well, hey, that's a lot safer. But, yeah, we go down the creek because you couldn't fire the missile at Grafenwöhr. And we go down the creek, and we see the Germans, and we see, you know, Germans. You know, the Germans, well, they had a rocket team, but it was all HE, and they weren't trusted with nuclear warheads anyway. But went down there, and I bought a 35 genuine souvenir Greek for 25 drachmas, which was 35 cents. And this homemade ouzo, it's made out of opium crystals or something like that. And anybody ever goes there, you know, the Metatoxis, you know, the commercial brand, it ain't dangerous. But you do not want to touch the genuine souvenir of Greece that you buy for 50 cents. Just leave the thing on the porch. Don't feel like drinking it because it was the worst or second worst drunk I ever had in my life in the Army. And I made formation. I did not look very nice, and I puked out every German crap. You know, I was on the marching team, and I puked on every single one here. And the thing about it is a white man who gets that drunk, it'll be a while before he does that again. But an Anglo-Mestizo, shit, it don't, yeah, I mean, the lesson don't last a day or so. And that's the same with Trader Glenn Miller. He's a drunken Anglo-Mestizo. And the thing about it is he shouldn't have ever been in the movement at all. I mean, that's why I was talking to Lewis Beam and Catalina. I said, I looked at his book, and he ran out. He ran out like a total coward as a classman on his people at Greensboro. He admitted it. He admitted it. I don't think Trader Glenn Miller wrote that book. I think some little Zogbot went ahead and wrote it for him. And he was, you know, I mean, he was hanging around in 2000, hanging around the Reform Party, hanging around every single party, just like he hangs around Ron Paul's bunch. And the thing about it is, he's been an Asian provocateur. And I think he was an Asian provocateur when I was in the Army, because the Army used to have a Klan problem. I don't know if it still does, but yeah, they're looking for, you know, if you want to make sure you don't get drafted, go ahead and, you know, get on your little SS tattoos or something like that here. Well, they still might, you know, draft your ass to be shot off in Iraq, you know, so that's not all together, but no, you know, the Army used to have a Klan problem. And I think Trader Glenn Miller pretended to be a Klansman. He got in. He was knocking people out when he was in the Army, much less after he got out. He's been a traitor from day one. And
have you heard of his family in Vietnam?
Huh?
Have you heard of his little family in Vietnam, Glenn's?
Oh, I heard about, you know, the story about Rabanger, the Filipino bar girl in Hawaii. From what I gather, he has a off rag daughter named Rabang. Now, what happens is that the one he's siding in for, the biggest supporter is Ron Doggett and Banjo Billy and the rest of them. Ron Doggett is supposed to work for David Duke, and officially they don't allow Trader Glenn on Stormfront, but they allow Ron Doggett, and Ron Doggett is essentially Trader Glenn Miller's supporter. I think he's the one who went ahead and knocked me out on DNNF and the rest of the place. I mean, you post a Martin Lindstedt link or anything like that, you get banned over at Stormfront. It's worse than on DNNF here. And but from what I gather, this Filipino or mixed race, Mamzer went ahead and went to Trader Glenn Miller's first sergeant or something like that, and, you know, set up a little thing to where, guess what, Trader Glenn Miller had to pay child support. And the name of the girl was Rabang. So when I have this Albion guy follow me at Occidental Descent and ODs and the rest of the places, he just goes ahead and follows me. He went ahead and followed me over to Christian Nationalist. And he hasn't been there for a while, but essentially I think it's Ron Doggett who's doing this crap, or somebody. And Trader Glenn Miller has a support network. And that's, you know, that's what he does here. Now, in 2004, Alex Winder supposedly found out about him from me. And what I suggested to Lewis Beam and Cashin Wayne is, let's pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's best buddy. And he'll go ahead and try to get in there and write ads at the Aurora paper and the rest of it, and try to get back in the movement. And they'll come in, and I'll just say, well, hey, Glenn's not allowed in the movement because he went ahead and knocked on everybody. And that's why I tell the people at the Springfield, the news leader, and the rest of them here, and then they'd go ahead and put in, well, you know, he went ahead and he ratted people out. You know, he's a traitor. He's not trusted. And they go ahead and print that. In the meantime, Trader Glenn Miller thinks that I'm his big internet buddy. He went ahead and gave me permission to go ahead and put his book out on the net. But I got disgusted with the bastard after Chapter 3, where he ran out on that. And Catch a Lane was hard to convince here. Lewis Beam understood that. I said, look, if somebody would have gone ahead after he ran out on these people in Greensboro and said, hey, you can't come to the movement, you wouldn't have had this problem with the order in 1984 and 85 and 86 and 87, where he goes ahead and he's snitching and ratting on everybody. That bastard had been blacklisted after he ran out of him in Greensboro. You wouldn't have that problem. And Lewis B's seen it, but Catherine Lane, being a female, you know, I had to go ahead and really, we both had to go ahead and talk to her. And there's still people say, well, are you and Lewis being sort of close? I said, well, no, I really haven't talked to him for years. You know, but then again, he was trying to get out, and just like me, they went ahead and tried to get him on bogus child molestation charges, and he managed to go, I mean, they were bogus, and he managed to go ahead and beat them. But, essentially, Well, why wasn't he Pastor Richard Butler's successor? Well, the main reason was that he wasn't dual seed line. You have to be dual seed line. Okay? But, you know, the second reason is that he really didn't want to be anyway. He was trying to get out. He was trying to get out of the movement in 1996. So he's still around. He maintains his webpage, but he don't really do anything. And, you know, back in the militia movement, he used to go ahead and, you know, I mean, I went ahead and acted as a proxy for him. But then again, he didn't want anything to do with the militia movement anyway. So, you know, I mean, he's still around, and occasionally I'll get email. Well, what, you know, I mean, you know, what's Louis Beam doing? I said, well, why don't you go over to his webpage and ask him? Okay, but you know the thing about it is that I've been pretty well keeping an eye on this, you know, trader, and you know, for 4 years, Trader Glenn Miller thought I was his best buddy, and then I was talking shit about him on VNN about what a piece of shit he was, but I was going to go ahead and he had plenty of money, I was going to have him try to run for the United States Senator, and somebody, I think it's either Wigger Swill Williams or Ron Doggett, ragged me out to him here, and he called me up. 7:15, the second Thursday of March of 2004, and I remember that I was watching Survivor, and hey, motherfucker, you've been talking about me. I says, you insulted my manhood. And I said, you're a rat. You don't have any manhood. But if you want, I'll come over some night with a dull knife and bad attitude, move what little manhood you got left. Shut up, motherfucker. I said, hey, look, you know, look, dumbass, you called me. What do you want? Don't ever call me again. I said, okay. And, you know, he whined and pissed and moaned, act like I'd gone ahead and betrayed him. And I guess I had betrayed Trader Glenn Miller. You know, you poor bastard. You know, I don't feel sorry for that. I don't, you know, I mean, as a bastard, I'd be skinned alive here, so he'd know better than to be a traitor. But, hey, you know, that isn't going to happen. At least not yet. But no, he's been a total, you know, he's been a total scumbag since day, you know, since before he showed up in the movement. I have no doubt that he was narking on his buddies when he was in the army. So no, I mean he's always been a drunken, evil piece of shit, you know, a sanctimonious, selfish person here, and you're best off having nothing to do with characters like that. But you know, the thing about Alex Flinder is that Alex Flinder, he was cast off. He was a crooked line. He was a crooked line snake. And these, I've seen these people. You know, they go to journalism school. They learn. They think they need to go ahead and lie. And they lie and they lie and they lie. And then they end up being like Randy Turner or this Wayne Rife or, you know, a number of these people going ahead and did a hatchet job on me. And they lie to somebody else and they get caught. And they get kicked out and they get blacklisted. And that's probably what happened to Alex Flinder. So here comes William Pierce, and he has a little bit of extra money. And he needs, you know, he decides he's going to go ahead and open up a second front. It's going to be called Vanguard News Network, VNNF. He goes ahead and he finds this little cast off weasel. He brings him over to Hillsborough in West Virginia. He goes ahead and finds that Linder is, you know, able to be bought. He buys Linder. And gives him a little sinecure, and, you know, when he first came out in 2000, 2001, everybody was laughing about how Alex Flinder lived in the basement of Granny, you know, lived in the bunker in Granny's basement, and he admitted that here. Well, he was never able to pay for himself. I mean, Pierce died in 2000, and now there's no money for Linder's VNNF here, because Pierce is dead, and all these people are fighting over Pierce's money. You know, I explained, you know, how did Pierce go ahead and do all this sort of thing? Well, he did the same thing Trader Glenn Miller did. He got $400,000 from the order. That's pretty well what the news is going on. You know, how did Trader Glenn Miller? Well, Trader Glenn Miller ran to supposedly $250,000 from the order. Now, if the order knew what new did here, they'd probably just go ahead and whacked old Trader Glenn. But, hey, they didn't know that. And Pierce was a higher-class act, and a lot smarter. But, yeah, there's some belief that the FBI knew full well that Pierce took the money, and they went ahead and they maintained the sort of base of operation. So you've got to understand, the Jews have always tried to go ahead and control the opposition. So what they did is, oh, pod blank. Oh, hi, Bernard, with Chucky Martel, VNNF here. Anyway, I'm looking at the chat room. Where was I? So my movement lore says that, Pierce got $400,000 from Bob Matthews. They went ahead and knocked over. And what they wanted to do with that, and I honored the order, but they made a number of mistakes. And the biggest mistakes, well, the biggest one was going ahead and having this Martinez from National Alliance, who's just a beaner criminal. See, when you end up having, anything to do with Mamsers, Mams are criminals, you end up being screwed. And that was the beginning of the end. Now, Bob Matthews also screwed up and didn't secure his 9mm pistol, and he left it and fingerprints on this 9mm pistol, and the FBI was able to go ahead and trace him that way, but also through tracing this snitch named Martinez who flipped on there and helped betray the order. So it was a wonder. But even Pierce's own biographer, I was reading Fame of the Dead Man's Deeds, and even his own biographer admits that Pierce went ahead and talked to Bob Matthews, and something in a brown paper bag was exchanged. And the next day he went down. He paid $90,000 cash for his property in remote Hillsboro. And I was going ahead and telling that on Fade's reopened blog here and to Wiggerswill. And saying, well, hey, here's the best way to go ahead and become a power of the movement. Have some bank robber to give you $500,000 here. Now I go ahead and go long ways. Wiggerswill, he ends up acting all hurt here, like I ass raped him for repeating this old gossip, which is pretty well understood. If you think everybody in the movement knows that, the FBI knew it too. And they were essentially using Pierce. And I said, look, stop worshiping Pierce. Like Robert Friend said, is that Pierce is not a revolutionary. He's a bookseller. He sells trinkets. And all the National Alliance was just the William Pierce fan club. And when you end up having, little intellectuals like Kevin Alfred Strom, who didn't have enough guts to stand tall, and who let his second bitch wife, his first bitch wife, fucked him over too. Well, you let people like that run you. Well, guess what? You're going to end up having problems. Certain people bring nothing but trouble. But anyway, Pierce at least went ahead and died. Everybody knew even before Pierce died that when he died, there wasn't going to be nothing left of the National Alliance in short order, and that's exactly what happened. Now, the smartest thing he could have done is gone ahead and gone with Billy Roper. I met Billy Roper, and Billy Roper's a good administrator. I don't all gear trust Billy Roper because he was associating with this character named Rick Spring, and Rick Spring was a criminal, and he was making Butler's last days miserable. People go ahead and send, I want to be in the Aryan Nations. Here's $25, and I'm going to promise to send you $10 a month, Pastor Butler. Will you make me a major or a general or whatever, in the Aryan Nations? And sure enough, they would. Well, a couple months before Butler died, the membership applications somehow show up on the one, Daryl Lamont Jenkins' One People's Project in the SPLC. How did that happen, answer? Rick Spring went ahead and did it. And that was what was with Visser. Visser was hanging along with these Rick Spring types here. Whereas Sci-Fi, he came up from Augustus Christ, who rebelled against Butler because Augustus Christ won $25. And essentially, he's just like Ron Edwards and the rest. Well, I'm not Christian Dendy anymore. Okay, well, maybe you never were. Look, folks, I mean, Butler's tragedy is that he went ahead 40 years ago and decided to form a paramilitary organization out of criminals, skinheads, and losers. And for every skinhead criminal loser that he got, 19 of Wesley Swift's family men, decided that they didn't want their sons emulating this crap, and they certainly didn't want their daughters around this, and they just stayed home and formed their own little one family and two family and three family Christian Day congregation. And just like with Herbert Armstrong's bunch, once they don't have anybody at the top telling them what to do, they inevitably lapse into a heresy. So as a result, the vast majority of Christianity is a bunch of little one-seedliners with their sacred names or Ephraim Scepter or whatever doing that. Now, is that a good thing? And the answer of it is, if you want to talk about security, internal security is a very good thing. This fighting I've been doing with Visser, didn't matter, you know, six or eight tards, most of them Mamblers, deranged Mamblers like Brian Wright and Pastor Weiss Mamzer out of Chicago, and this transgendered, you know, idiot sow who used to be on BNNF. I'm fighting with them. Am I fighting with anybody? Am I fighting with any people of God or Yahweh? No. Does it really matter? No. Do they like hearing what I have to say about them on this show, like the movement heard? No. Do I care? No. I mean, shoot, I've been ranting and raving for about 2 hours now. Anyway, with fate, there's a lot of, you know, on the beer barrel. The same thing happens as happened with every other civilization here. This screwed up little Mamzer, Ixenbert. You remember when I was talking about, you know, Frankenwigger and how these Jews need to have fresh Aryan input at least every three generations? Because if they don't, the spawn of Satan bloodline poisons them to where they're just totally screwed. You know, the males are screwed up. See, the females, they're not screwed up by that. It's mitochondrial Jew DNA. And, you know, the thing about it is, it's just like you grow old enough here. You know, like the old saying is that a pole will wear out sooner than a hole. You know, I mean, if you're a man, you're going to be at your sexual peak a lot longer, you know, than a woman would, because the woman just has to lay down there except the pole here. But the pole will run out before the hole will. You know what I mean? Of course, there's, you know, once you have a certain age, you get all the pussy you want here if you want it. You know what I mean? Of course, by the time you get 50 or 60, you don't want it. You know, that reminds me, I was 17, I sort of thought four wives was a grievous imposition here. You know, by the time you reach 40, 45, you sort of think that one is more than enough. You know, and I do like my wife, Roxy, but, you know, on the other hand, dealing with a bunch of women is irritating as hell for any man. You know, and, you know, my friend Pastor Britton here, he has five daughters, and they just, you know, his little wiggers just run him wild here. I mean, I bet he wished he had a son among them here. And he tried five times here, and he just drew a split tail blank here. That's all he did here. But anyway, you know, but he annoyed his wife by calling up here. He has three of his daughters living at home. So how's my three little wiggers? He was pissed off. He was pissed off big time here. But anyway. Anyway, he's working hard to keep him up. He's an honorable man, you know, my friend John is. And in any case, where was I? The thing about it is that even the most lusty man eventually gets old enough. He gets tired of dealing with more than one woman's complaints. And a woman just loves to bitch. They just can't help themselves. I mean, I've advocated in many cases women should not be taught Christian identity because it really isn't for most women. If you even try here, you're going to end up having something like Maggie Bell Bitch Butts or Clunt Downey. And, oh, they are awful. They are awful. I pissed off this little Mamzer, you know, female social worker when I said, no, I mean, shoot. Women should not, your women are not fit for Christian identity. You know, I mean, most of them are. Now, if you get some, You know, once you know, they should be trained in Mormonism, you know, to be obedient and understand is that they're not the ones who run things here. And once they go ahead and learn obedience, you take some of the smarter ones and maybe teach them a little bit of thing about Christian identity. But women and Christian identity do not really mix, because at the best here, a female and Christian identity is a second-class citizen. Okay? You might have her vote here, but she's to vote the way you want her to. But anyway, I don't know how I got on this subject. But anyway, the 12 monkey. Well, Craig Cobb, I don't know. I call him Corn Cobb. Corn Cobb is, he's a devout creator here. And I really, there's some things I respect, Corn Cobb about here, but, good sense is not his strong specialty. Okay? But anyway. Yeah. they're not mamzer tolerant. It's just that, most of them are mamzers. So how are they going to be intolerant of mamzers? I mean, Brian Wright. I mean, flat eyes. Obviously, he got pissed off, because me and John Britton ran him off on December 3rd, 2008, by showing his slant-eyed, picture with prison tats here. And John Britton come up with this picture of an ancient Hittite with slant eyes, just like Brian. It looked like Brian Wright's twin brother, except for the tats. And essentially, Brian Wright's people are Pictish hybrid nigger mamzers. They were descended from Tubal Cain. They didn't die in the flood. They formed first the Hittites, and then just like the Hittites were destroyed by these Galatian Celts. They were taught ironworking by one of the demons, one of the 200 watchers with Satan, taught Tubal Cain, who was an artificer in bronze, but especially iron. And the Hittites were the first ones to have iron tools. They were taught by Tubal Cain. And when the Hittite Empire was, destroyed, just like the Khazar Empire was destroyed by the grandfather of Vladimir, of Prince Vladimir, who supposedly starts Russian history, but his grandfather, Stanislav, also couldn't stand these dirty Jews. And he went ahead and destroyed the Khazar Empire. And this was 70 years before Prince Vladimir, around 930 or so. If you read, what happens is the Khazar, Ashkenazi, quote, Jews, we tell them that they're Khazars, but essentially Khazars were descendants from these Hittites, who were descendants from these Canaanites. But some of these were called riverbed people because they'd wander. They're cursed just like Cain. They couldn't farm. The earth wouldn't go ahead and yield up its bounty because Cain raped the land, and they were cursed, just like Cain was, with a big nose, big Jew nose, and the rest. But they couldn't get anywhere here. But they did know how to forge pots and pans and swords and plowshares, and that's exactly what they did. And they wandered about, having these tattoos, just like all these, so-called clans and Aryan Brotherhood and the rest of them all. I mean, I've never seen a white man who wasn't so proud of his white skin that he wanted to sully it with a tattoo. A real white man, a real Christian Israelite, does not want a tattoo because he sort of thinks his white hide is pretty. He don't think that some nigger or beaner ink is going to improve his hide. But, a nigger or a beaner or something like that, they love these freaking tattoos. I mean, hey, you have to have something to decorate his shit skin. So that was what was with Brian Wright here. He tried to, you don't go up there. No, dumbass. That's prison, it's called prison sleeve. That's prison tats here. If you're around criminals for any given time, you find out the ones that are, 17 years old here, and little wiggers, they end up having a big old eagle, big old Nazi eagle or swastika tattooed on their back. And what they did is they got to prison. Essentially, they didn't want to go ahead and pimp out, punk out for the niggers. So they go ahead to this Aryan Brotherhood bunch. You know, essentially, they take, they, you know, the guy brands them like they're a bunch of cows. Well, the thing about it is that once they're in there here, they don't want to go ahead and show that big old swastika or, you know, the rest of it, because, hey, it just means, guess what, I was a personal ass slave. I was a personal ass slave of some Aryan Brotherhood or some nigger or something like that. You're not a nigger, but the thing about it is I was a personal ass slave of the Aryan Brotherhood, and they don't like admitting that. By the time they're third or fourth here, they'll end up getting a whole bunch of other tattoos and prison sleeves here, but they are not too proud of a big old swastika or eagle or eagle swastika in the middle of their back where they essentially were branded here. And I used to, you know, tease Brian Wright. I said, I bet you were eager preview, old Brian Wright, Lon Wong, Billy Wood. I bet you have two SS rooms on both butt cheeks. You know, if you're around criminals any given time, you can read those prison tasks like the, you know, like a newspaper. Okay? So, anyway. Where was I? Anyway, I guess Mike John disappeared or anything like that here. But in any case, they, you know, that's just nature. But anyway, you know, I've seen Fade. And 5 years ago, Fade went ahead and started Four Fags Thieves, and he was not a very good manager. He's a moody character. And there's a bunch of people, they go ahead and give his real name, and I'm not going to. Everybody knows what it is, but I'm not going to go ahead because I sort of like Fade. I think Fade has grown up quite a bit from 5 years. Now, I was getting down on him. I said, look, Fade, the best thing you had on you is that back in the old days, you were a lot more open to new ideas. And when you ran Four Fag Seeds here, me and John Britton, we were on your forum. And we suggested that if you didn't like what we had to say, why don't you open up a special sub-forum? And he said, well, should I call it, you know, should I call it jail or the gulag? I said, no, call it the Jewlag. And me and John Britton were the first ones shoved into the Jewlag. At least they didn't go ahead and censor or ban us. The thing about it is, though, is that Four Fags Thieves has been taken over by a bunch of wiggers, a VNN boat pistol, and the thing about it is that they don't respect free speech. They say they're a free speech forum. Well, no, they're not a free speech forum. They kicked me off. They kicked me out the day after the 4th, an hour after the 4th of July was over. And I admit that I caused trouble. I would go ahead and deliberately insult all their Balkanoid mamzers and their Jews and the rest of them. I'm not a nice person. You know, I'm not a nice person to mamzers and Jews especially. But, yeah, I caused trouble, and as a result, I got kicked out of their academy, which I called the Unibrow Tanning and Tweezing Supply and Circle Jerkery. And then I was fighting with Bamser the Mamser Krieger. So I got kicked out of the help desk and, you know, just left in the lounge. And I was essentially treating Four Fag Thieves like a Mamser and Wigger, you know, and Jew hunting ground. And I'd go out just the 315 patrol and fight with these bastards and then insult them and make fun of them and ridicule them. And eventually, I guess they got tired of my shit. They kicked me out. But you can't say you're a free speech forum. And looking back on what I've seen from Maud Fraud and Carcass especially, you know, Four Fags Thieves is centered with Stan, the rest of them called Gomez. And Gomez is a Jew, a slave trading name. So essentially what they are is they're a bunch of, you know, Four Fags Thieves is run by a bunch of Sephardic Jew mamzers, and they're spying on people. You know, I mean, you know, here's old Carcass saying, well, here with this big old hate thing here. Well, guess what? It's only a block away from where you and Jimbo and Maud Defraud are out of the Belgian, you know, the Belgian Brussels main telephone company, which runs the Internet. They could shut you off, but they don't shut you off. Why are they not shutting you off? Because you're spying. You're spying on these so-called hate groups here. And that's what VNNF is for, and that's what Stormfront is for. it's go ahead and keep an eye on wiggers, but it's also go ahead and keep track of crazoids who show up, who do think it's a white national forum. And then you end up having, like, this Polak kid, Richard Poplawski, went ahead and, popped three little pigs. Well, guess what? We should have seen that coming. Now, as a result of this little thing which happened in New York City, they're spying. Every single time there's some big hue and cry about evil racists, pretty well they're able to go ahead and look and see the IP numbers and the rest of it on Stormfront, on BNNF. Now, the fact of the matter is they can go ahead and trace, thanks to the NSA, I was in the Nuthouse, they admit that they were spying on 42 million Americans, i.e. about everybody who had an Internet account. But they can't keep an eye on every single one of them. And what happened with Fade, he got ambushed by Jim Giles because Alex Linder was testifying against Bill White on December 15th. And it didn't have to happen. I mean, Alex Linder should have gone ahead and shut down. Once he shut down Bill White's account, Bill White didn't show up. He should have deleted that account. He certainly should have deleted that account once Bill White was in jail, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because he was spying on Bill White. That's exactly what he did. The NNF is just a dog false front, so sperm front. And so I think, to a degree, is pisser sender. The thing about it is, though, is that four or five mamzers and idiot wiggers don't make anything. Don't make anything to account for. Visser wasn't very smart. He went ahead and essentially went ahead and banned me and Six Killer, and then brought back the rest of them here. Me, on Christian Nationalist, I still have a Jeremy Visser account. Anything I see old Jeremy Visser saying, I can go ahead and put down as his words. I can go ahead and play games with his Visser account, and usually I go ahead and put his actual words here. And yeah, I mean, I have the private messages where he was conspiring, old sci-fi favorite, that kicked me out. I mean, shoot. These people are not as smart as I think they are. I mean, they're criminals, but they think they're criminal geniuses. Now, is Visser dead? No, Visser ain't dead. But he came on to him, and just like every other little criminal, he decided, shoot, I'm just going to go ahead and leave Dodge or hide out for a little while. And that's what Visser did here. I went ahead and looked at the papers for that area, and there's no obituary on Visser. If there was an obituary on Visser, it'd be there. But it's not. There's not. Visser ain't dead. He's just laying low for a little while. Just like he was going to retire in September 90909. Well, he actually sort of said he was going to do that on 90709. And I went ahead and sort of screwed up by telling him how he could go ahead and save his forum from spammers. In any case, Fade has gone ahead and grown quite a bit over the last couple of years. And he's over at Beer Barrel, he's over at Stumble Inn. And essentially they're shitting on him over on the Beer Barrel, which is as it should be. You have a bunch of these four fag thieves, and they're still pissed off that Fade's incompetence went ahead and cost them a bunch of stuff. But the thing about it is, four fag thieves is just another little, my one spy called it best. He called it VNNF version 2.0. And that's essentially what it is. I mean, Star and, Jake Featherstone or something, or Featherstein or whatever, they're not true racialists. If they're true racialists, they wouldn't be over on Mutant Sperm Front and an honored contributor there. They're just tame racists. That's all they are. That's all they'll ever be. They're just, I don't think they're taking money. I just think they're just idiots and fools who are playing at a game. They're playing, I'm a big wannabe racist. No, you're not. No, you're not. In any case. So, Fade has gone ahead and created a bunch of rules. Well, he's gone ahead and he's gotten a bunch of intellectuals. Now, the problem with intellectuals is that they're smarter than God and actually dumber than dirt, and they're not going to actually do anything. And they're going to go ahead and chatter and chatter and chatter and chatter. But essentially, it's not going to amount to anything. Not ever. But on the other hand, since they did go ahead and open the forum, it's far more free than the blog. And I really welcome that here. And I think Thade has grown up quite a bit in 5 years. Now, the thing I don't like about how he's grown up is that he wants to go ahead and control things. And this problem of Mavars, when you're dealing with Uyghurs and Mamzers and, you know, idiots and Asian provocateurs, nothing is controllable. Nothing. The only thing you can control is your own behavior. Trying to control somebody else's behavior is not, you know, is just a total waste of time and essentially tells that person here that you're scared of them. You know, I'm not scared of liar Bill DeClueless or Weiss Mamzer. I mean, they're scared of me. And that's the way it should be. Anyway, in the case of stumbling, you end up having the same old thing as that somebody who's in power goes ahead and ends up siding with a Jew like Ixabert. And essentially, they didn't have a problem with Ixabert, and they didn't have a problem with sock puppets. Although some people did. They got tired of him pretending to be a Nazi. And I went ahead and came up with this restoration of, Dead Nazis Act to where, guess what? You can't pretend to be a dead Nazi unless you're actually descended from them. Who voted against that? Zed and Ixabert. Why did they vote against it? Because, hey, they love play. You know, a Jew is fascinated by Nazi stuff here. He wants to pretend to be a Nazi. Especially when you're an Asperger Mamzer, toes screwed up in the head like Ixabert. I mean, sure, he can have beady little black eyes here, big old hose nose here, and little goofball will go ahead and lust over his little Nazi stormtrooper that he wants to go ahead and run, and that's the way Expert was. And Zed, for some reason, went ahead and protected him and a few other idiot Mamzers. He went ahead and dicked around with the rep system, and that pissed people off. Well, unlike most people go ahead and whine and piss and moan, they got together. And I guess they ponied up. Looking at the V-Bolted 4.0 and, you know, the service that they probably got, I would estimate it cost about $400. But they're going to go ahead and have it for a couple of years. $400. And from my Gerald, June Stain, and Apocalypse, and a few other people decided to go ahead and set aside their beer money for a little while. And they probably ponied in about $100 a piece. That's my guess by judging. Because instead of having a duarchy like Stumbling, they have a tetrarchy, which is about four of them, all being administrators. So I imagine they went ahead and split it four ways. It was about $400. I imagine they all paid $400 a piece. And that's how they went ahead and did things. And if you're having a brand new forum, I guess V-Bolton 4.0 don't hurt as much. Because then you can go ahead and change it. They need to go ahead and fix a few switches in V-Bolton, like on the signature line, and they need to do a few other little things. They don't have YouTube. They don't have the YouTube enhancer made up. But from what I gather, they're having a fine time with the chat line, and essentially what it is sort of like a combination of Four Fags and Stumbling, and they're enjoying themselves. Now, I don't know how long they're going to go ahead and say anything serious, but then again, Stumbling was not really anything serious. See, Four Fags is degenerate because Ragnall's mother died, and he's not posting anything, so they don't have any first-rate writer. They just have a bunch of third or fourth raiders. And essentially, all they're doing is just going ahead and reacting to the stuff with their little chatter, 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 chatter about, oh, I think this is where it'll be. Well, it don't really matter. It don't really matter at all. So, that's pretty well where Beer Barrel is, and that's where Thade the Butcher's Occidental Descent version 4.0, and I've pretty well already run off Wiggerswill, you know, pointing out what happened with Pierce, you know, back in the day. Essentially, Pierce never really ran a revolutionary organization. All he ran was the William Pierce Fan Club and merchandising session here. And from my gather, he was a frugal man. You know, go ahead and read. You can read offline if you go ahead and look. You can read in PDF format, and I print it out. About a 428-page book. I print it out. Same with the Dead Man's Deeds. His own biographer admit that he got, you know, he paid $90,000 cash money. Went down to where whoever held the mortgage and paid off the bank, $90,000. You know, day after he got a sack full of Franklins from Bob Matthews. So, you know, sort of like the old joke about how to be a good Texas millionaire. Start out with a billion. That's what William Pierce did. Now, he probably would have had a more organization if he'd gone ahead and given Billy Roper, but there would have been a decline anyway. So, I mean, they're all blaming Eric Gleybe and the rest that, they blame Eric Gleybe for supposedly screwing things up. But everybody said that when Pierce dies, National Alliance ain't going to last 6 months, and it didn't. Okay? Martin, stop telephoning me. I don't know. Who's guest 15? Anyway. I ain't telephoning anybody here, and a few of my friends left in the house, so, you know, it's 12:21. You should have been dead 2.5 hours ago. Anyway, 3.5 hours ago. No, 2.5 hours ago. So, any case, where was I? All right, well, I pretty well talked about the two new turds, Occidental Descent Forum and Stumble In. And I think Stumble In, or the Beer Barrel, will last for a while. And I think Stumble In, Breckenridge, Elkins said that he was going to go ahead and keep Ixenberg out of four forums here, you know, sub-forums, and you don't really need to keep him out of Linstead. Listenania, because if he shows up there, old Ixenberg will be said all sorts of stuff here that he didn't wish to have said. But in any case, it's sort of like locking the barn after it burned down, the horses escaped or whatever. I mean, Jews have pretty well brought everything screwed up, and that's the way they did. Okay. Anyway, my pastor, Linstead.org forum, sort of for now is sitting, waiting, and I pretty well downloaded the database, but I don't know how well it's going to go ahead and go back up, and I'm not going to really miss anything other than the blog here. The forum was sort of valuable too. The web page is no big deal. I mean, you could always just store an HTML web page, but the databases, get sort of screwed up or corrupted, then you end up having a problem. So, anyway, I'll go ahead and, I got Aryan-Nations-Missouri.org, and I'll go ahead and build that up. Anyway, up. Anyway, where was I? Okay. This morning, or yesterday morning, I was looking at this sort of thing. I was copying off a VHS onto DVD, the Liar Bill, the Clueless bullshit. Liar Bill just sat there, looked like an idiot, which is, what he is. And in the middle of it, I went ahead and seen, up-to-date bombing about this truck bomb being left on the streets of Times Square. And here's some fat-ass FBI. He said, it has to be Muslim, because Muslims, they want to just kill people, but Uyghurs, Uyghur, you know, white, you know, Uyghur nationalist wants to go ahead and make a political statement. And I'm thinking, you dumb shit. You have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Because I remember I was in the nut house. It was the day after Thanksgiving. And I was seeing a picture of hell on earth from where the Sunnis had gone ahead and detonated about 11 car bombs in this crowded market in Baghdad and killed 165 other ragheads and wounded 100. And essentially you had people, bodies, parts, and, you know, it was a picture out of hell what was going down in Baghdad. And some people, like William Lind with his fourth generation warfare, points out is that a truck bomb or a car bomb is extremely cheap to make. Extremely cheap. Especially if it's a suicide bomb. Then it has a guidance system. But this one, I mean, you have no idea. I mean, if you're smart, you stole, he's gone ahead and stole the truck. He stole the plate for it. He'd have wore gloves. He'd have wore a hairnet. He wore just denim jeans here, but he wore sock cotton, you know, white cotton socks, you know, tennis shoes, denim, you know, denim clothing, you know, common fibers, wore a hairnet, and then not secreted, you know, I mean, you know, and not left any, you know, evidence, not left any fingerprints. If you go ahead and stole the truck here, stole the tags, how are they going to find it here? Timothy McVeigh wanted to be caught. Timothy McVeigh wanted to be caught. But somebody, you know, somebody who wants to go ahead and detonate, you know, a truck bomb, chances are he don't want to be caught, unless he's a suicide bomber, in which case he ain't really worried about whether he gets caught or not. You know what I mean? Whether he gets a criminal record doesn't really matter when he's getting, you know, blown up sky high. So, I was looking at something on there here. But the thing about it is, Uyghur, it's just like I was telling about these little white nationalist rallies here. Less than 20, you know, Uyghurs, and the pigs are staring at you as if you are far more dangerous than the 400 niggers and Uyghurs yelling and screaming and causing commotion at the back. And the reason of it is the pigs understand that if you end up losing white support, you not only, you know, you've pretty well lost the only thing that's going to go ahead and pay your salary and keep you alive. And that's, you know, that's the thing about them refusing to go ahead and let me run as openly white nationalist here. You see, one of the things, you know, that started the American Revolution was the notion that no taxation without representation. Well, if a white man cannot run for political office, an overt white man cannot run for political office, well, guess what? I mean, you're screwed if you're a Republican Party saying that, because you need white votes to survive. That's why they went ahead and passed this Arizona thing here. Now, this Arizona thing is probably going to go ahead and be set aside. But it's the last peaceful, it's one of the last peaceful things to where white people say, hey, look, we want to survive as a people. We want to go ahead and survive as a culture. We don't want to be overwhelmed by, you know, invaders. And if you're going to go ahead and say legally we can't go ahead and defend ourselves against all these invading beaners, then guess what? Why do you have any, you know, why should you support the state that's out to destroy you? Look, you know, there's people go ahead and, you know, scream and holler about how I am bringing about the Great Tribulation, but I'm not. No one man can do that. I have a little thing to say, hey, don't mess with the Great Tribulation. But the thing about it is that it's just like every other mighty evil empire. It goes ahead and, for the benefit of a rotten aristocracy, it imports all these slaves and they breathe with these dirty slaves, and the founding white people are destroyed. And that's what happened in Greece, and that's what happened in Rome, and that's what happened everywhere else. That's why there's no Roman Empire. That's why there's no Syrian Empire. That's why there's no Persian Empire. That's why there's no Greek Empire. That's why there's no Persian Empire. The Portuguese, oh, what they do is they send all their young men to Brazil and Africa and bring the niggers in, and then they breed with the niggers. That's why there's no Portuguese empire. But there's a lot of nigger Portuguese. El Mans are Portuguese. That's what happened to Spain to some extent as well. But when you no longer have whites running things, every empire falls apart and is destroyed. Okay? So, anyway. I think you're worried too much about old Delaney and the rest of them here. I mean, Delaney is just a little clown that, you know, moved in. He's going to move back out. But that's what I like. That's what, sort of what I like about this lawsuit I filed. Because what I have to say is that, guess what? If I, as a white, open white man, is not allowed to run for political office, if no white man is allowed, then what you're saying is the white man is doomed to be nothing more than a wage and tax slave. And if these people in Arizona are not allowed to keep out these beaners, then short, you know, why draw white beaners? Why not go ahead and, you know, let Haitians and Chinese and the rest move in to take the white man's stuff, which is exactly what is happening. And once you end up having no choice but to fight and rebel or die, because you're going to die anyway, every single one of us is going to die. All we need to do is we need to go ahead and let the Zog be destroyed, and we need to go ahead and exterminate these treasonous Uyghurs who brought this, you know, evil upon us here. These Jews are getting a little bit scared. If you went ahead and looked at, you know, what happened with Goldman Sachs, here's old Lloyd Blanken, you know, Blankenstein or whatever, Blankenfeld or something like that, and he acts like he don't understand why people are annoyed. Well, look, Goyim, you know, look, Goyim pension funds, look, Goyim Uyghur, you know, banks, or, you know, I mean, not banks, but the rest of them here. You're supposed to support us Jews here. Now, I got to wonder. Alexander Hamilton was one of the fathers of the constipation. Not of the Bill of Goods, but of the constipation. And the bastard lied. He was a Jew. His father was a Jew, spawned upon a Scots whore mother, you know, in the British Virgin Isles or something like that. He's a little Jew. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to set up the first bank in the United States. What it was the Federal Reserve of the day. Shares in this privately held corporation would be sold, not to the general public, but only to a fellow Jew banksters and thieving Uyghurs. And then guess what? They would control the economic output of the United States, you know, the budding economic, you know, United States government. And that's what he sort of thought was necessary and proper for the Constitution. And guess what? That's exactly what, you know, his thieving buddy, John Marshall, who was also on the Constitution Convention, said, lied like a dog about what it meant. And then, as, you know, this Chief Justice went ahead and brought in all this shit from this Constitution here to go ahead and favor the money men, the Jews and the banksters. That's the way it was set up. In 1789, when George Washington comes in and North Carolina and Rhode Island still haven't ratified the Constitution, he shows up, he makes Alexander Hamilton, you know, his Treasury Secretary. He's a Federalist. That's exactly what they do. Now, why are you surprised at, you know, the framework that was set up 230 years ago? Well, 232 years ago. Why are you folks all surprised that's come to pass now? Now that Zog is a mighty evil empire and he's been supposedly ruled by the Constipation Bill of Goods. Why are you surprised that that shit happening? And the answer is, well, I guess you're surprised it happened because you're stupid Uyghurs. But the thing about it is that this thing was set up to be the way it is now, to where secret Jew banksters control things, There's this guy named, what the heck his name is here. He's at www.marketticker.org. Kurt Dettinger. He's pointing out that the pigs country, Portugal, Ireland, Iceland, Greece, Spain, and Iceland's already gone belly up. Ireland's, you know, what happens, Greece is going belly up. It's going to go ahead and go to Spain and Portugal and Britain and Zog. Essentially, all they're doing is just borrowing money and then printing it up to pay for the interest expense. That's all they're doing. You can't go ahead and run 10% of the, you know, of the entire GDP for debt. No, you can, but not forever. And what happens? It caught up with Greece. And soon it's going to go ahead and catch up with Portugal and Spain and then Britain and then Zog. Well, how did that happen? Well, just like this, you know, but, you know, he don't understand that, you know, guess what? You know, he sort of thing, he's been trained. But guess what? The goyim are to provide for us Jews, to be banksters. We're to go ahead and run things, and when we win, we get to go ahead and take the profit. When Zog, you know, when we our gambling debts that we made, that we shorted, we sold crap. We sold shit. You know, it's like this Jew Senator Levine here. He's pointing out the crimes of the fellow Jews. He's not putting it like that. But essentially, he goes ahead and says, hey, look, every single profit you made, you privatized to put in your own pocket for bonuses. Every time there was a failure, too big to fail, you got to prop us up. That's what taxpayer does. And guess what? Now there's no money in the pension funds. There's no money left. What economic input is caused by deficit financing here? Because people have lost their jobs. The wiggers have lost their jobs. And a lot of it is caused by the Republican Party. Now we're having to go ahead and go 99 weeks. 99 weeks, i.e. indefinitely, to where essentially you have a dole. Look, you stupid Republicans, you went ahead and shipped off all these jobs to China. All these paid jobs to China, so guess what? In order to go ahead and keep these people from riding because they don't have enough to eat, keep them voting for you, you got to go ahead since now you pay them to do nothing but stay at home. Not go ahead and go out in the street. But how long is that going to last? I don't know. You know, I have no idea what's going to go ahead and happen this election. I need to go to bed, and I need to go ahead and write up a thing about essentially I need to go ahead and ask them a summary judgment that I went ahead and asked for and say, hey, look, I want you to go ahead, Judge. I want you to go ahead and overturn Revised Statute of Missouri 115.355 to where you can just throw people in prison so they can't run. You need to go ahead and allow anybody who's a prisoner who has not been convicted and thus ineligible for the office, but you need to go ahead and allow them to run for public office either by doing so in absentia or by bringing them in chains to the election official to file for that office. And B, no political party can discriminate against white people by claiming to be a private organization. What happens? White people are the new niggers. 1944, guess what? Texas Democrat Party can't have hold of all white primary. But guess what? You've ruled. Thanks to Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller, he had his little nose in it here, and here he is talking about a member of the, you know, saving the white race here. When he came up in 2004 and 5, he was talking big shit about how he would go ahead and form a white freedom party. Well, he didn't do that. Instead, he made it possible for an overtly white man to go ahead and run as a Republican, a Democrat, or a Libertarian, or even a Constitutional Party member in Missouri. Now you have to go ahead and beg for a write-in vote. You're making a big deal about how you are saving the white race by being a writing candidate. Well, you're the one that made it necessary to be a writing candidate. You're the one who made it necessary, Trader Glenn. Don't give me the stupid shit about how you went ahead and, are saving the white race. Anyway, I am the one with the pisser. I've got to do this thing here. Anyway. Anyway, guest number 17 is having fun. Anyway. On Papa Cat, he's still wondering about me. I mean, I am what I am. I've been in the movement, and I've seen so many people come and go. Usually, when they come, they went ahead and squirted all over you here, and they didn't even go ahead and wipe off. They just ran off. And they just hosed their so-called followers. These people. You end up having all these fools here coming in looking for some actual Nazis or something like that, and then finding something like Ron Edwards and Liar Bill the Clueless waiting for them. I still got a laugh. Clan of killers. Nobody got killed. Essentially, all happened was just a little 16-year-old beaner got beat up by two drunken Anglo mestizos. And it just made, it just went ahead, and Morris Deeds was like shooting fish in a barrel. But I sort of think the Liar Bill, bathed your family today. Oh, good Lord. Anyway. There was a blessing. Well, I'm wondering about guest number 17 here. You know what I mean? Oh, well. A pity I can't go ahead and block old guest number 17. That's what happened with William Fink. He did that Monday. Some guy was making a clown. Guest number 20 was making an ass clown of himself. For 20 minutes, he went ahead and blocked the people from calling, which is a good thing because when people are blocked from calling, the talk show actually tends to go ahead and last a little bit longer than when you're actually participating. I've already been kicked out once or something like that. Anyway, heck, it's 12:42. I've been on for 2.5 hours. Anyway, I think I sort of covered it, but. I want to talk about Uyghur revolt. Uyghurs don't really revolt, but essentially it's sort of like a mass of sheep. But the thing about it is that they're not really able to go ahead and really take care of themselves. But you end up having a bunch of wolves who look like Uyghurs. And if it turns out that this truck bomb, was not a Muslim thing here. They're talking about how it's Iran. Essentially, Zog wants to have a war with Iran because it's going bankrupt. It's going belly up. You can go ahead and justify anything if you're at war with somebody. But you have no idea. I mean, the thing about it is that it could have been just some pig, some undercover pig who went ahead and drove that so-called truck bomb, which didn't explode, just like happened in 1993 with the World Trade Center, first bombing. Well, it didn't really get off, and it was altogether an FBI sting. Sort of like this Hunterese militia here. This is altogether an FBI sting. Oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and mention Red Mike Vanderkuyt, Red Mike Vanderbo. He's been bitching. That on his little agent provocateur bullshit. He's an SPLC militia general, and he was bitching about neo Nazis, saying he was an SPLC plant, i.e., people like me, who know him. He was bitching about this Walter Reddy. I went ahead and called this Walter Reddy, and Walter Reddy was sort of scared by who it was. And I explained that I'm not Red Mike Vanderkuyt, and I talked to him for about 2 hours. And the thing about it is that he's really a constitutional militia guy from Connecticut or something like that. And essentially he went ahead and told the Oath Keepers peoples that, hey, look, Red Mike has all the bearings, you know, all the behavior of an agent provocateur. And I explained to him, yeah, that he was. I said, well, did you learn that from the LaRoucheites here, like Red Mike accuses you of? He said, no, Wild Bill Cooper, who got murdered in November 2001, pretty well told all about Red Mike. And I said, well, yeah, you know, old Wild Bill was a difficult man to get along with. But, yeah, and he was murdered. He was murdered by Zog in November of 2001. But, yeah, he had Red Mike pegged here. Red Mike is an ADLSPL, you know, militia general. You know, he was trying to go ahead and keep an eye on the Christianity militia. And him and I have been fighting. I talked to him, and, you know, this guy, he sort of understands a little bit about Christianity. But essentially, he was right. He went ahead and warned the Stewart guy that Red Mike was no good. And Red Mike is still pissing and moaning and whining about because he didn't rope in a bunch of idiots, you know, to go ahead and follow him. So, anyway, that was one thing I went ahead and discussed here. So you got to understand is that Jews and Zog have to control all the opposition. That's why they end up having VNNF and Sperm Front and Four Fags. And essentially the ones that aren't under their control, like Stumble In or Beer Barrel, are really just nothing more than, people playing white nationalism. Having drunken fun here. And that's what people got pissed off at Ixtenberg, because even if you weren't white, the highest, you know, thing you could get is to be a good white man. And that's, you know, that's sort of like, you know, non-whites. I mean, they all wish they were white, that they were white people. I mean, if all these mamzers were able to go ahead and become 100% white here, guess what? They go ahead and impose segregation so fast it'd make your head spin. Anyway, you know, and, you know, Fade's new board, he got a bunch of intellectuals. Now, I've been fighting with Wiggerswill, and essentially I went ahead and told the truth about how Pierce essentially was really, you know, Pierce was gifted. You know, of all the people who the order gave money to, you know, he was the one who at least, you know, was the most classy in the act here, and you know, he didn't blow it all. He just went ahead. First, he went ahead and bought the farm. And he probably went ahead and paid for what he was doing. And from my gather, there probably wasn't very much money left by the time Pierce died. And Pierce was a frugal man. He, his only luxury seemed to be Eastern European women that he'd import as brides. And, you know, Pierce was a relative class act here. But his followers weren't. His followers were a bunch of wannabes and idiots and shitheads and the rest of them here. And, you know, the thing about Wiggerswill is that he's tied to the neck with Trader Glenn Miller. And essentially he ended up getting a special order against Covington. He's pissing him on against Covington. There's another character on Faye's board, this Robert Campbell. And, I sort of think he's a little Zog about himself here. You know, he called himself Tord Wee-Wee-Wee-Wee-Sberg, and I call him Tard Wee-Wee-Sberg. But, you end up having these people show up, and essentially they're not what they pretend to be. And you're able to go ahead and find it, and you're not going to be loved for it. Not going to be loved at all, even more than I was loved by the pisser once I went ahead and told the pisser. That essentially I was tired of him sneaking and lying and trying to go ahead and kick out John Britton and oppose himself as senior pastor so he could go ahead and try to loot the money that was locked up in probate. He was trying to go ahead and get $400,000 and the rest of these, you know, I mean the other shit, like, you know, conniving with Sci-Fi Faber to kick me out. You know, look, idiots. Here, you want to become a dual seed line Christian identity minister here? Well, you don't have to come visit me and put up with Roxy's cooking, which is actually pretty good. You don't have to sit like a romp or on a chair here. Why don't you just simply go to your own little state and inquire the Secretary of State's office what it requires to be a nonprofit church. And then spend, like in Ohio, $25 for 5 years, which is actually cheaper than Missouri, which is $25 to set up and then $10 to $15 per year, depending on where you pay by debit card or check or whatever. I mean, that's a whole lot cheaper here. I mean, when Pisser used to have his old form on his old V-Bulletin PHPBB form, and he's gone ahead and, you know, the idiot's gone ahead and deleted my account. You know, where I can't log in, but it don't really matter because, you know, he's hit or deleted the files that make him look bad. But essentially, he's just doing like every other little meth goober here. When things get, you know, rough, he just went ahead and went off here and you know said, hey, just tell everybody I'm dead. And he's not going to show up for another couple months. Then when he thinks he's off, he'll come back and he won't be dead. You know what I mean? So, yeah, in any case, that's pretty well the way things, operate in the bowel movement. And that's the way things operate with Pisser here. I mean, everything Pisser, usually everything Pisser says isn't exactly true, or not even remotely true. So Pisser, I went ahead and looked, and there's no obituaries on the old Pisser. So, I went ahead and looked for jail records here. There was an old traffic ticket or something here from 5 years ago. There's nothing about the Pisser, and there's no obituaries, and noted Christian identity mister, goes ahead and takes meth overdose, none of that shit. And, what I expected was that, the joint task force goes ahead and says Pisser's violated the deal. They're going to go ahead and, they're going to go ahead and charge her with being a meth head. Distribution of that was the thing I expected to see because I heard somebody bitching about how it had been in the news. But if it had been in the news, then how come I can't see anything on the internet? From Jeremy Visser, Brooks, Georgia. Answer, well, you still can. So, anyway, the Pisser, Pisser seems to just sort of, run off. But back in the old days, they used to go ahead, and the banner ads would say, you too could become an ordained minister. Go ahead and join our seminary for $4,500 per semester, 2 semesters per year for 3 years. So, okay, let's round it up to $5,000. So, in short, in order to go ahead and have a, case of study for 3 years, that amounts to $30,000. $30,000 to go ahead and become a minister when you could go ahead and become a minister and an archbishop, no less. We're simply going ahead and paying $25, $30 to register your own church organization and then go ahead and make yourself a minister. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. Those are the ones who agree that I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. Why, they call me Pastor Winstead. And the ones who don't, the Jews, the Whiggers, who don't like me, well, they can call me Marty. At least I know where you're coming from then, don't I? So, anyway, let me see. Look at this here. Anyway, I went, I give up. I'm sort of trailing off here, and I'm going to go ahead and sort of end it. But what's going on with Arizona? What's going on with my wanting to go ahead and run as an overt white man? The rest of it is that essentially Zog is telling the white man is that guess what? He don't have a right to live. He don't have a right to exist. He don't have a right to his own property, his own family. You don't have a right to anything. The beaner and the invader and the Jew has first call on it. And the thing about it is that Zog may think that it's tough by doing that, but the thing about it is that the Beaner and the Mamzer and the Jew, they can't produce anything. And if there's nothing to produce, be it food or economic viability or anything, well, the government, you know, the corrupt elites can't survive either. And the end result is that there's going to end up being a civil war. But it's not going to be an organized civil war like in 1861, 1865. It's going to be a war of everyone clawing and scratching and biting and killing in order to go ahead and survive and protect, you know, this mouthful of food for yourself and your loved ones. And when that happens, things are going to go ahead and get ugly very quickly. Very ugly. Look, Phoebe, what you want is a little Zog false front, which you can go ahead and blame somebody on. What you don't want is you don't want an actual bunch of people learning and wanting to go ahead and build actual bombs to go ahead and blow up in crowded areas. What happens is that back in the day after Thanksgiving, 2006, there was no law, there was no order. It was hell on earth. All these car bombs, suicide bombs blowing up, or there was 5 or 10 or 11 of them here. And then they were catching other trucks and things on fire, and they were, from what I gathered, the body count came to, 160-some people, with thousands of people, with hundreds of people otherwise injured by all this flying glass and shrapnel from these cars and buildings and all this other stuff here. It looked like hell on earth. It was a scene. It was a chaotic scene, you know, of dead bodies and bleeding, crying, screaming people and fires and rubble everywhere. You know, this picture of hell on earth. And that is what is happening. That's what's slouching off toward, as I say, you know, the old thing was, what rough beast this hour come around last slouches off to Bethlehem to be born here. Well, what I'm trying to do is by actually making a fight of it, by actually going ahead and making Zog make a decision, I'm saying, what rough beast this hour come round at last is slouching off toward Armageddon to be born. Okay, folks, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night, you know, a little bit less than 3 hours. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say, hail victory, and Yahweh bless. Good night.